Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Christine Siegel on Freedomizer Radio. The name of my show is Wake Up and Live. How did you wake up this morning? Were you a bit cold? I think it's like 20 degrees outside here in New York. It's been a cold couple of days. Hope you are staying warm and staying indoors and listening to this broadcast. I like that. If you would like to speak to me today, the number to dial in is 347-324-3704. That number again is 347-324-3704. It will ask you if you want to speak to the host, and just follow the prompts and you will be talking to me. So if you have any questions today, please call me. Okay, so my special guest today, her name is Lori Ann Powell. She is a holistic health coach. She's going to be joining me shortly to talk about her experiences with the SAD diet, S-A-D diet. We often hear that an acronym for standard American diet that we all eat, that we grew up with, and something that we just don't realize is not healthy. So we're going to talk about her experiences today with that, and she's going to share with you what she's been through, and then we'll talk about eating whole foods and how really a person should be eating today to maintain health and wellness for today. I'm just going to, before I talk a little bit more about the SAD diet, I did a little commercial spot for myself, and I see that it has been logged on. It's only 39 seconds, so I'm just going to play it and see if it actually went through properly. So just bear with me for 39 seconds. You get to listen to me do a commercial. Here we go.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a SAD diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio. How do you wake up in the morning?
Okay, that worked. Just wanted to hear my own commercial. I just made that this week and was downloaded by Proof himself. Thank you very much for doing that for me. I just wanted to make sure that it was okay, and it was. Actually, I should have a theme song, I think, you know, that sort of like the Brady Bunch. And when I come on, I get to play a little something. I don't know, maybe I should download that too. That would be kind of neat. Instead of me talking right away, so you get the gist of what my show is about. So anyway, I want to go back a little bit to the SAD diet, talk about my own experience with it before I bring on the special guest. And, you know, I hope my mom's not listening. I always feel bad when I talk about my things that happened in childhood because, you know, they didn't know any more than we know the mistakes that we made. Our kids will come back and say, I can't believe you did that, Mom. You know, so they didn't know any more than we know. So, you know, it's, you can't really cast any blame. It's just what is, it's just the facts. But one of the things that, in talking about SAD diet was, by the time I got into high school, I did not eat breakfast at all. I just think getting up so early for school, it's really hard on kids. You know, you're in school by 7 a.m. a lot of the times, and teenage body clocks, you know, you're usually up a little bit later at night, and you go, it's very hard to get up so early in the morning when you're a teenager and get up and get ready and get out the door and have a nutritious breakfast. I can't imagine too many teenagers are actually doing that. I know for my own kids, I tried really hard to get them to at least eat a bowl of cereal before they left the house, but they just weren't hungry. So I think a lot of teenagers do skip breakfast, and then by the time, you know, they're in school, half awake, their first class, the bell's ringing at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they're still half asleep, sitting in there, and they're just not hungry yet. But by the time 9, 10 o'clock rolls around, their stomach starts growling, and they get hungry. And so what happens is you start to snack, and you start to just eat whatever you can find in vending machines or something your friend happens to have, or you just kind of eat whatever. And then lunch goes around, and of course we all know what's in school cafeterias, which is not nutritious. So a lot of kids, I know, I was not a breakfast or a lunch eater in high school. I skipped both of those meals. And then I'd come home and I was starving, like really ravished, and I would just eat whatever junk I could find in the house until dinner. And my mom would always cook an amazing dinner, so I had one out of three meals that was nutritious and healthy, but that was it, really. And it's very difficult when you are a teenager to get up early and have that breakfast. I know that I wish that teachers would allow students to eat in class, that when they're hungry, they should be allowed to eat, and bring things from home is really the only option, healthy foods from home, so that the body is getting the nutrients during the day, because you need that. You're taking tests, you're studying, you need to have those quality nutrients in you. But I will share a little story with you. My mom, for some reason, she just loved Dunkin' Donuts, and on the weekends, she would treat us to donuts for breakfast. That was our breakfast. She would go out, Dunkin' Donuts, and get the dozen donuts in the box, and there were four of us. I have two brothers and a sister, and so, you know, 12, so we got three each, and we'd pick our three favorite donuts, and I always got the same. I got a toasted coconut and a cream-filled and then a jelly-filled donut. And she would bring it home, and I would literally eat three donuts for breakfast. This is what I had on the weekend. And it was just the sugar and the goo. And, I mean, I can't even believe that I did that. That was my breakfast. And I have to say, by the time I was in my early 20s, I could not even smell a donut. There was just turn my stomach, and I do not eat donuts now. I mean, now, of course, I don't eat sugar as a general rule, but even before that, just in my 20s, I just stopped. And if I go into a Dunkin' Donuts, I'm like, oh, I can't even take the smell. So I just, for some reason, the body just grew such an aversion to donuts after that happened to me. I mean, I just couldn't eat them at all. And I don't really think that I think two of my siblings don't eat donuts anymore either, so I don't know. The body just really said, you know, you had your lifetime equivalent of donuts, Christine. Like, that's it. No more donuts in your body. And when you're eating donuts for breakfast, I mean, not to mention the sugar rush and all that, but you don't feel good. There's nothing nutritious at all in anything that you just ate. So now you've just filled your body with donuts and no nutrition, and now your cells are like, they're so hungry, you know, they want to eat. So you're feeling sick, you're feeling full, but your body's really still hungry. So that's a horrible feeling, and when you can recognize that feeling, you don't feel good. You know, it's like having you get up in the morning and you have a bagel for breakfast, you have a white bagel, and a cup of coffee, and it's like you're full, but yet you're still hungry. You know, you're full, your belly's full, but you just ate cardboard. You know, you didn't eat anything nutritious, so your cells are like, what the heck is this? You know, where's my salad greens? Where's my carrots? Where's the good stuff, you know? I mean, even a handful of nuts, you know, you're still getting some nutrients and vitamins. Just anything is better than, you know, the empty calories that we get from our own diet. And you don't understand that. You think growing up, well, what's wrong with ice cream? It's got calcium, you know, what's wrong with pizza? We don't really think about what's in our foods. So in a few minutes, I'm going to bring on my special guest, and we're going to talk more about the SAD diet. I just want to make mention, just going to briefly change the topic, and then we're going to go right back to the SAD diet. But I just wanted to briefly mention, in my last program, I had on a woman, Haley Hobson, and she was recommending to do intentions, to put your intentions out for the week. And at the end of the broadcast, I remember I said to you all, I said, I'm going to try this for the week. I'm going to get a little bit more specific, and I'm going to write out exactly the things that I want to accomplish for the week. And I did that. I did a card, and I'm trying to find it here. Still have piles of paper. I should put on it next week. Stay more organized. But so I started out with about 18. I actually wrote a couple more in afterwards, and so I got 20. But there's quite a bit of crossouts. Now, I only started this on Monday, so I said this was from Monday to Friday. And I have to say that, you know, I didn't get everything on here, but I did get a lot of them. And I'm kind of happy with what I got, what happened, because things were coming true. So I'm going to try it again for next week, and I invite you to do that too. I invite you to go take a index card or a piece of paper and write out your goals for the week and be very, very specific. And it doesn't just have to be like a work goal. Like I wasn't talking to somebody, and so I put contact with that person. I want to have contact with that person this week, and it happened. So I want you to just do that. I want you to just, in any kind of area of your life, whether it's exercise, whether it's eating healthy, relationships, career, I want you to just sit down and write for the week what you want accomplished. What are your intentions for the week? And I do want you to take action steps towards them, but I want you to see how quickly the things, you will be crossing things off your list. And I was pretty happy with it. So the things that didn't come true, and out of the 20 things, let's see, one, two, kind of one almost, three. Yeah, maybe like three things really did not come true on this list, and that's pretty good out of 20. Of course, those are probably the three things I want the most right now. I'm kidding. But I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to be more specific, and I'm going to try to do it tonight so that I have 7 days and not 5 days, and then I'll report back again, and I'm going to encourage you to do that and call in and share with your experiences with that, because it's a lot of fun to do this, and it feels good crossing things out, too, when you accomplish them. You're like, hey, I actually did that. I can cross that out. Or, hey, that came true, so let me cross that out. So I do invite you to try that this week. So I'm going to back to the sad diet, and I'm going to bring on my very special guest today. And her name is Lori Ann Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L. She is a holistic health coach at Green Country Radiance, and she's going to talk today about her experiences with the SAD diet and what it did to her life and how it brought her to poor health and chronic symptoms and difficulties. And she's going to go into what happened to her and then how she was able to change it around, and not only change it around but completely change her life and go to a place where she is now inspiring and mentoring others to improve their lifestyle. So I'm going to bring her on right now. Hi, Lori Ann.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What a thrill to talk to you. This is so exciting. So thrilled to have a chance to share my story with a wider audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate your willingness to come on and share with the listeners your personal experiences. And I think that's really how people, they can relate more. And they might say, oh, I was feeling that too. And it's really good to hear somebody that's actually been through the trenches rather than just somebody going on spouting, oh, you should try this or you should do that. I think when it comes to sharing your story, it's something that people can really relate to, so I do really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's funny that you brought up donuts, because donuts are such an emotional eating issue. I I have never been really big on donuts since I was real little. So one season when I was really, like, craving the donuts and going to Mr. Donuts every day was when I was living in Japan. Mm. After an entire adult life of not eating any donuts, there it was like there was something about the whole experience that was homey. And fortunately, I was eating a little better in Japan than I had been previously, so I don't that didn't really contribute. I think that probably kept me, you know, I think I definitely kept that under the 10% of you know, bad stuff we allow ourselves. But that just brings up the whole emotional eating, which is not really, which is part of the SAD diet, but that's not what we're talking about today, right?
Well, you know what? There's so many components to it. And for me, with the donut story, my mom brought them in. It wasn't like I was even craving them. She just thought she was, like, doing something great for her kids, like giving them donuts for breakfast. She didn't, you know, she didn't know any better. So, obviously, I don't harbor anything. I don't blame her. It just, you don't know what you don't know. But for me, it wasn't an emotional thing. I actually, after a while, got so sickened by eating them because it was, I eat three at a time. I mean, that's, you know, kind of gross.
That is a lot. I was in a big family, and it was a huge treat to get one. So, and it certainly wasn't every week, but
yeah.
But I could be getting done with it. I mean, I certainly haven't craved Mr. Donuts since.
Yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you on that.
Emotional, you know, I definitely got all I wanted for the rest of my life in that short time.
Yeah. So let's go back to you. Let's start at the very beginning and share with everybody how you were eating. What were you eating exactly before we get into, like, symptoms? Like, you know, just share what you're comfortable with. You know, what was your diet? What did your diet look like, in other words?
Oh, yeah, my story is a little different from yours because I was born worried about my health. From a really young age, I was reading the labels on the side of the cereal to pick which one was, you know, had the best, you know, ingredients. And I was listening to what the popular culture was saying about our health. And I tended to bring my lunch from home, and I ate three meals a day. I sat down and ate, you know, a
good
bowl of cereal, a piece of fruit, and then at lunch, you know, a sandwich and a piece of fruit and a cookie, and then for dinner. My dad was sort of a conventional, you know, traditional guy, so we were having meat, potatoes, and vegetables most nights, mm-hmm. which is better than driving through at Taco Bell. but here's where the SAD diet, I told you, SAD diet, the health nut variant comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I was eating pretty, of course, I was just buying what was available in the store, so it wasn't organic or chemical-free, and it wasn't necessarily healthy, just because the label said it was.
Right.
But as the pop culture released these ideas, like fat is bad, fat is causing heart trouble. Salt is bad. Salt is causing, you know, diseases. Sugar is bad. You shouldn't eat sugar. Coffee is bad. You shouldn't drink coffee. I would follow those things.
Wow.
Stopped eating butter. I was eating oatmeal because it was considered healthy, but I didn't eat butter on it or any sweetener.
Did you fall to the whole margarine? Were you into that whole craze?
Oh, no, because, see, fat was bad. So whether it was margarine or butter.
Oh, okay, so it didn't. So you didn't fall into that.
So I ate my salad without dressing, and I, you know, didn't salt my food because, you know, it always said salt was optional, and so I didn't eat salt, and I didn't eat sugar, and I didn't eat all these things. And I now realize, right, from our health coach training program is that we need all those things. We just need a good form of them.
Mm-hmm.
So to get back to my story, so that's how I was living. And then when I became an adult, I started making my own bread, you know, for my family with whole wheat. And I thought you could eat an infinite amount of whole wheat and it was good for you. So I ate lots and lots of wheat, lots of wheat. And then financially, things were a little difficult. So I began, substituting more and more pasta, more and more inexpensive ingredients, you know, substituting soy protein for things. And as once I started having children, my health started really deteriorating very fast. And I was a busy mom, and I would just push myself to keep going. But I was depriving my body of all these essential nutrients. When I was 39, I gave birth to my youngest child, and I had a complete health collapse.
Oh, wow.
And at the birth, you know, I said to the nurse, there was a certain point where I said, I feel like my brain's just exploded.
Wow.
And I had come into this pregnancy with, I had rashes. I had been having this chronic rash that I didn't know what it was for several years. I had kidney stones and gallbladder attacks. I had anxiety. I had toe fungus. You know, just all these sort of low-level, you know, difficulties and some more serious ones. But after the birth, I couldn't think anymore. My ability to reason, to do math, to sequence things, which you don't realize how much you sequence things until you can't anymore. You know, wait, do I put on my pants, you know, first or my jacket first? You know, how could I cook? I couldn't remember. What do you do first? Do you turn on the oven first or last? Or
wow.
I couldn't do those things. I couldn't drive anymore because I had mental confusion. And in the midst of all that, so now I've gone to the doctor, and this is where we get into the SAD diet. I went to the doctor, and they reported all my symptoms, you know, told them everything that was wrong. They took charts. They did MRIs. They did this. They did that. And when it was all over, they offered me antidepressants.
Mm. I had a similar experience. Keep going.
Well,
that's their answer.
I knew that whatever it was that was wrong with me, it was not depression. I was actually having the time of my life because a lifelong dream of living overseas had just come true.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make the decision whether to actually get on that plane with my family and go to Japan when I was having trouble crossing the street by myself.
Wow.
So it was a huge decision. But here's where intention comes in. You were talking about intention. I love what you shared about that. I realized it had been my intention my whole life to live in another culture and experience a different people and, you know, experience a different cuisine, experience total immersion into another world. And I realized that I had no guarantee I would ever be any healthier. I was never going to be any younger. I was never going to have any fewer children. So I decided to just go, and if they had to, you know, wheel me back, if they had to just bag me up and bring me home,
right,
that I would have, you know, done the dream. Well, we actually went and lived in a community that was a very backward, you know, rural community where the people still ate the Japanese traditional diet. And so I began eating those healing foods, those fermented foods, food that was more wholesome, food that had more, you know, traditional nutrients in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese are health conscious, but in a very different way. They're not fad driven. They really believe that miso paste is a healing food. I didn't believe them. But that began my journey that has brought me to today, being able to, I do drive now. In fact, I just bought my first new car of my life.
Yay!
At age 52, my very first car.
Wow.
I drive it all by myself.
Wow.
And I wake up every morning energized and enthusiastic and ready for the world, and I've completely changed my life and my diet. Although
so obviously you came back from Japan and you continued whatever you were eating over there here.
I did. One thing I did is when I started my new kitchen, I could start from scratch. Nothing came home with me. So in my kitchen, I thought, okay, I'm going to make this a healthy kitchen. So I did not buy a microwave.
Okay. Were you using that a lot previously? Were you a big microwave user?
I had always suspected that it wasn't particularly healthy. But I hadn't really thought through all the reasons why it's not healthy. That just the fact of being in a hurry to prepare food is not healthy. That just that harming, you know, the protein in the food is not healthy. I had just kind of suspected that radiation couldn't possibly be good for me. But I did my kitchen. In fact, one of my courses is the Slow Food Kitchen Transformation, where I introduce people to a kitchen where things are slow and easy and fermenting and taking time and noisy.
Right.
Beginning from scratch. And kind of entering into a whole different zone about food preparation instead of trying to figure out what can I do fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what can I do now that will make really good food 3 days from now.
Right, right. That's totally a different mindset from how we live today in America, because everything is, okay, I got 5 seconds to cook dinner. What can I pop in real quick, give to the kids, be done with it, clean up quickly. You're not thinking in 3 days in advance, that's for sure.
Right, and we've completely lost the community of the table.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the traditional mindset is to see for the mom to feel that the presentation of food is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Not really the mom, I should say, the host or the hostess.
That, right.
You know, the presentation of food is a gift, and it's we're together and we're enjoying it together. And one of the things I experienced in Japan was because I couldn't drive, I had to walk to the closest store, which wasn't necessarily an American-style grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
There was tofu in big, you know, in big 50-gallon barrels.
Wow.
You know, that they would pitch out for you, and fish that still, you know, still had their heads, just a completely different way. And because of how I'd been driven to not being able to think very clearly, I had to go shopping for fresh food every day and try to figure out what to make with it.
See, that's
so
nice. Because then you get all the nutrients, you know. It's not sitting around the food for, like, we don't even know how long carrots are sitting in a bag. Could be in there for a month for all, you know. It doesn't have the nutrient levels as buying fresh food. So that's great.
Yes, it was, and it you know, but I think the most important thing was reducing the stress. I couldn't do all the things I had previously done. And so I had to just be so much more intentional about everything that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cooking fresh and cooking thoughtfully. I mean, I couldn't get home at 5:45 and think, okay, my husband's going to be home in 15 minutes. I better whip something together. You know, I had to think, okay, do carrots go with bananas?
Right.
Maybe
wow.
I better Google that.
Wow. So how long were you in Japan?
We were in Japan for 4 years.
Oh, wow. So this isn't like a quick little trip. This was that's a long time. So you really got to experience the culture. Your body really got to heal.
Yes.
In that time period.
And I got a lot more exercise. You know, the culture there is much more bike-friendly, pedestrian-friendly, train-friendly. So we actually bought a new car when we got there for my husband's commute. And after we'd been there for 2 years, we actually sold it because we realized that we could use our bikes and public transport and walk almost anywhere we needed to go. And if not, we could call a taxi.
Wow.
So it was just such a different pace of life. And, yes, in 4 years, you really experience the benefits of the life. But you also see, something I saw was all the areas where the Japanese are kind of going down our path. Mm-hmm. And then it was jarring. Like, it showed how so much more clearly how negative our direction here is. Mm. To watch people that have such, you know, a sweet life in so many areas, but then, you know, imitating the American school system, you know, imitating the American mindset of being in a hurry, imitating the American mindset of having, you know, everybody, you know, have a 9-to-5 job rather than a family business. You know, you when you see that happening kind of before your eyes, mm-hmm. you just see the direction it's going in.
Right. And so you were able to see that distinction, which is amazing. And there's so many people today that this is all they know. So they don't have a distinction. They don't have, especially like younger kids today, you know, they look at things like, of course you get something out of a vending machine to eat. They don't realize that you have to prepare food. The food has to be prepared in a certain way, that it has to be picked fresh, that it has to have a certain amount of nutrients, that love and time do need to go into the food and not just slop together. and they don't see that. They don't see that at all. So they don't. And I'm really concerned about our younger generation. This is one of my, where I focus, where I've decided to target market is more the younger generation, because I'm just really upset with what I see. And just they just don't understand. And we, being a little bit on the older side, we can go back a little bit and remember our grandparents being a certain way. And then I look at my kids, and they have my mother who buys the donuts. You know,
yeah.
That's who they're going to look up to, you know. So it's within the last couple of generations, just something has fallen apart. And there's a reason why so many people are sick and so many people are overweight. And it's going to take a lot to change the eating habits, but it goes exactly to what you were saying, and you just totally hit it on the head, that it's all about the mindset. It's about really undoing all of what we perceive to be our way of life, because it's really not working. You know, it's not
right.
working. So something needs to be switched, you know.
Yes. And one other thing that I talk to people about a lot is that things that are natural and healthy are irregular. You know, a real potato doesn't look, you know, exactly like its neighbor. You know, DNA is unique. Every snowflake is different. Every
right.
potato is different. And one of the things, the mass producing of foods, or is it Michael Pollan that says food-like substances? This younger generation has an aversion to things that are irregular. You know, they don't expect there to be dirt.
Right.
On their carrot,
right.
They don't expect to see, you know, evidence on their meat that it used to be an animal. They don't expect those things, and they don't expect today's chicken to taste different from yesterday's chicken because we got it from a different farmer.
Right.
And
do you remember as a kid peeling open corn and seeing a worm at the top? You'd have to look at the worm just make sure there's no worm in your corn.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that. That and an apple. I remember as a kid eating an apple and, like, having to make sure there's no worms. My mom, make sure there's no worms in the corn. Okay, Ma, you know, because that was
checking,
normal.
Checking the bread for mold, right, before you
Oh, I know. I know.
Mold.
It's amazing. That is a good point, Lorianne, because there's sometimes I buy bread in a freezer, or if I make my own bread, I cannot leave it out. Because I grind my own flour. So if I grind my own flour, it has all parts to the flour. It's got the bran and the wheat germ and the endosperm in it. So it goes rancid. It molds very, very quickly. But I could buy something at the store, and 3 weeks later, it's still at room temperature, and it's still mold. And it's like, oh, my God.
One of the things I tell my clients is that if the bacteria won't eat it, you shouldn't eat it either.
That's a good one.
Real food will be consumed by nature. You know, real food, you know, if something is something that if you left it out, you know, the skunks would turn up their nose at it. You know, you shouldn't eat it. And at the same time, you know, things in their natural state are just so different. And there are so many things that have been stripped. Like one of the things, I know that one of the things for me was becoming mineral depleted, because I wasn't eating salt. Well, of course, now everyone's depleted because the salt is more and more stripped of its nutrients. And I explain in my classes that the table salt, you know, typical table salt, is actually now industrial waste left after all the good stuff has been harvested out of it.
Oh, I know. I know. And then it's bleached.
and it's bleached and it sits on the shelf. But real salt, I mean, our blood is salt water. How could salt be bad for us? So realizing, real salt, the salt as it comes from nature, is essential to life. And that's not what causes us to have, you know, heart attacks and strokes. It is this, you know, sodium chloride with no balancing minerals in it is harmful. And it's the same with sweeteners. It's the same with fat. It's the same with all these things that they've come out and said, oh, you shouldn't eat it anymore. Mm-hmm. Wheat, you know, wheat that has been, you know, harmed in processing, that has been changed by genetic engineering, all these things. It's not the food itself. It's not that wheat is bad for you, or that fat is bad for you, or that salt is bad for you, or that sweet is bad for you. It's that what's left after all the good stuff is gone is bad for you.
You know, Jacqueline used to say, if man made it, don't eat it. And that's so true. And people look to me all the time, and I'll say, yeah, have raw milk. Raw milk? You have milk? Raw, whole milk? You have to have skim. But skim milk is man-made because it doesn't come out of the cow in skim milk form. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if you just
and the fat is the best part of it, so why would you remove it?
Yeah, because exactly what you were talking about when you started your story, because people listen to what the government puts out, what the newspapers, what the media puts out in terms of health, thinking this is exactly how we should be eating, so we should skip the fat. I mean, I did that too. When I was in my early 20s, I went through a low-fat craze, and I would get Entenmann's no-fat breakfast buns or whatever they were called in the box, thinking that was for breakfast, and I was doing something good because I wasn't eating fat. And I ended up losing a lot of weight. And when I got married, I was 25 years old, and I was 103 pounds. I was so skin and bones because I wasn't having any fat, because that's what I thought, again, that's what you were supposed to do. And then it went through the wayside when I got pregnant, and I started eating, and then my life, I didn't pay attention so much to that, to what I was supposed to eat or not. But I did get caught up in that one. That was probably the only one that I did get caught up in, was the low, you know, no, it wasn't even low, it was like no fat. It was like, don't eat any fat. And I looked terrible. You know, I really did not look good and I was in my early 20s, a young girl, and that's all I was eating. It was just, ugh, gross. But I think we should make clear, too, that, you know, the government, they're not nutritionists. You know, they don't know anything about nutrition. And government officials, you know, you see who you elect. If you go up to a government official and you ask them, what's a GMO? Or what exactly is high fructose corn syrup? Or they wouldn't even know. They wouldn't have to answer the question. So they appoint people. And usually who they appoint are people that work for industry or companies that have an interest in influencing policy. So it's not quite like people look to the government like, oh, yeah, they're protecting us. They're giving us this food pyramid that this is what I'm supposed to eat, 6 to 8, 10 grains a day. Or I don't even know what they say. It's like crazy. It's just, who does that, you know? But they come out with these wild pyramids.
The first, I don't know if our listeners would know this, but the original USRDA, right, the United States Recommended Daily Allowance of Things, was just that they took an inventory of what people were eating, you know, divided it up and said, well, since this is what everybody's eating, then let's recommend it. So it's based on no science, no nutritional science, no concern for our welfare, because then after they had done that, the food industry came into it. Well, you can't say, you know,
exactly.
They should only eat one glass of milk a day because they should drink a lot more than that because we don't make any money on people who don't drink milk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the food industry began, you know, hyper pasteurizing because once everybody started drinking milk, well, it needed to have a longer shelf life. You know, so everything has become about preserving the food industry.
Exactly.
And then every one of these changes, you know, they can see that we're all sick and dying.
Right.
And that food has to be involved, and yet nobody wants to do the hard thing of saying, you know, a person only needs, you know, so many calories a day, and so much of it needs to be fat, so much of it needs to be sweetener. And food industry also discovered, wait, that fat being one of the most expensive ingredients, they loved the low-fat craze.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's no butter in it, it's so much cheaper to produce it. And,
right.
The food industry has just been driving the fad diet. And between the media, you know, you look at a commercial, it says it's good, or it makes it look delicious. And then you read the label, it says it's healthy. And then you're in public school that hands you a chart that says, you know, Fruit Loops are, you know, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you? Your health. You're looking at everyone you know being heavily medicated when my grandparents, none of them, three of my four grandparents lived to be 88 or older.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them was on anything.
Oh, I know. I get that too. It's amazing how much we need to change the mindset of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing.
Actually,
my mom, I'm just going to tell you a little side story because
yeah,
my mom, I threw my back out and I've been recovering. And my mom, so many people, are you going to go to the chiropractor? Are you going to go to the doctor? And I'm like, you know, my body will heal. They don't do anything for this. Well, and my mother calls me this morning. I'm not kidding, Lorianne, like 8 o'clock in the morning and she's crying. What's the matter, Mom? She's like, you won't take a pill for your back. And she's crying. And I'm like, Mom, I don't need to take a pill. My body will heal itself. Like, I'm okay, you know. I'm just got the heating pad. I'm doing whatever. I'm okay. But she's crying because I won't take a pill. It's like, what do you say to that? You know?
Yes, so. because better living through chemistry. I mean, it's a national religion. You know, the belief that these things are helpful and that suffering is unnecessary. And we're trying to, it's funny because we're trying to create this big bubble where we live with no pain and no drama. And then we have television shows that provide the drama for us, or, you know, we drive too fast and live this fast-paced life to make up for the fact that food itself isn't enough of an adventure.
I know.
The real pain.
It's unbelievable, you know. It is, and it's like, I didn't know what to say to my mom this morning. I'm like, you know, Mom, in an emergency, I know if I had to take something, I would. Don't worry about it, but I trust that my body will heal and I can handle. It's not, you know, it's not comfortable, but it's not unbearable, and it will heal when it heals, you know. So she was always up at night crying, I'm worried about you. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and it just changing that mindset, like you have to take a pill every time you get a little pain or you have to do something. And I don't believe, I believe mainly pills are placebo anyway. So I already know it wouldn't work. So I knew if I took it, it wouldn't work anyway. So,
yes, but we do, we take a stand on this, and it does seem, almost, you know, people look at us as if we're like making a suicide pact with one another.
I know. It's like
it's a suicide pact. We're not going to go to the doctor no matter what.
Right. But what you were just saying is so true. Like, I know my grandparents, like, they went to the doctor if they had to.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get checkups on a regular basis. If something was wrong and they
yes.
couldn't fix it themselves, then they went. But they didn't go just to go.
And they went and they negotiated price, too. What can you afford? That's something
right.
that's so different now. With
Or they bartered. They bartered a lot back then, too.
Right. They bartered. But if we couldn't afford something, we didn't have it done. You know, now you walk through the door and they start the meter. You know, they start the meter.
That's true.
And
they don't get to know you. They don't get to know you at all. It's like you're like a factory. It's like, okay, here's your script. Go on. What's your symptom? Okay, here you go. And when you think about it, it seems so crazy.
It is. Well, and especially since they don't address diet, and since they know, you know, that a huge amount of illness is due to stress or due to diet, and yet they're not trained or equipped to tell us what to eat or not eat, even if we ask it. Of course, you know, I told you I was a health nut, right? I was so hungry for someone to tell me, you know, what should I be eating? You know, why am I so sick? Why am I, you know, chronically, I mean, I was in the doctor's office all the time for things that were serious, you know, infections that were giving me fevers. And
so what did you think in particular that it was? You know, when you went to Japan and you started eating more nutrients, is that what you think switched the health around? Like what? Were you not getting enough nutrients here? Because if you were, you said you were eating basically pretty healthy here, though. You were, right? You were eating salads and meats and meat. And...
Well, not. I was not eating nutrient dense food, certainly.
Okay.
Kind of eating sad, but also, you know, the wonderful world of fermented food was opened up to me in Japan.
Okay. Now maybe we better, because I'm not sure. Our listeners know what exactly fermented foods are. So do you want to maybe, let's talk about fermented foods for a little bit. And is this, I guess we should recommend Sally Fallon. She's big on to fermented foods.
That is my main cookbook.
I have it too, Nourishing Tradition.
I left all my cookbooks behind in Japan, and I started from scratch, and Sally Fallon has first place. Yes. Well, this is another interesting thing about the SAD diet, is that it was catastrophic for our health when refrigeration was invented.
Mm.
Because, you know, until the 20th century, a certain amount of food people ate was sprouted or fermented or aged or, you know, gone over to vinegar. And they ate that because that's what happens when you have to harvest all your food, you know, in the fall, and it has to last till spring.
Right.
Cheese turns to milk, you know, milk turns to cheese when it sits out, which I could never understand how cheese was discovered until we had four goats having milk, and you just couldn't drink it fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that, you know, you put milk in the back of the fridge and some interesting things start taking place. So because of this change, because instead of eating, cabbage that has been in a barrel in the back room all winter, we only eat fresh cabbage. We only eat fresh lettuce. We don't eat soy sauce that has actually been in the back of the cabinet from, you know, last year's soy harvest.
Mm-hmm.
What people didn't realize is that those bacteria that are digesting and converting those foods into kind of this interesting fizzy aspect help our body digest it. And so in Japan, all traditional diets have something, usually several different foods that they eat that are aged foods, that are fermented, whether it's kimchi in Korea, miso paste in Japan, soy sauce in China. Ketchup used to be a fermented food. It's actually based on fermented fish heads, which is not in ketchup anymore. All these foods were fermented, and that brings us to an interesting thing about the SAD diet, is how we crave, people eating the SAD diet crave condiments. You know, you have kids putting ketchup on everything. You have, you know, women putting mustard in everything. You have all these foods. They used to be fermented. Our body is looking for that fermentation and not finding it. And so we eat any amount. Well, in Japan, eating, you know, their little umeboshi pickles, I it started shifting my digestion and improving my ability to actually absorb the nutrients that I needed from that food.
Now, do you have miso every day? Do you have like a cup of miso soup? Do you make your own?
I do buy miso, and that's a regular part of our diet. All those foods that I just mentioned, I think the most familiar fermented foods for most of our listeners would be yogurt. You know, most people,
right.
A lot of people crave yogurt and cheese, and those mm-hmm. are both fermented foods. But it's not a good balance to only get those fermented foods. So my family loves kimchi, which is Asian sauerkraut. Have you ever tried kimchi?
I've never made it. I have purchased it in, like, Whole Foods has it in their section there, and I'm not sure, in terms of what I'm getting out of that when it's from a jar from a company. But I have made my own cabbage. I fermented cabbage and did a drink where you take the cabbage water and you let it sit out, and then you strain it, and you keep, like, straining it, and you drink a little bit every day. And it almost tastes like a ginger ale. It's weird. It's got, like, the little fizz to it. It's called Cabbage Rejuvenac. And I was doing that for a while. But it's the mindset, because I'm like, oh, I got to shred the cabbage again. Because you have to do it every day to drink it. And it's just, the first day it's three, you make it, and then you have to wait 3 days. And then after that, it's every day. You have to keep doing it and doing it. And you get about a cup and a half of liquid, and I think you drink like a half a cup with each meal, and it's supposed to help with digestion. And it's like your own little probiotic. So
I
teach that in my workshops, but you know, it's like a lot of my clients are like, yeah, I don't really want to do that, you know. So I've done that. I tried sauerkraut once, and that didn't work. I don't know why it didn't work. And I do have one thing I make. It's called dilly carrots, and it's carrots and dill, and it takes a week. And you put like a little garlic in, and you're supposed to put I think whey is the starter that you use in there, but it's very hard to find whey. So you can just use salt. So I use a little sea salt sometimes instead, and then after a week and sitting out, it gets bubbly. And you eat the carrots, and it's, like, really good. And you have that fermented food. But it takes time. It definitely takes time to do.
It takes time. And I also think if you do this, that you need a variety. So I think probably you stopped doing the Rejuvelac when you get to the point where it's like, okay, my body has what it needs that it can get from that. I think the body then wants, you know, some different, you know,
right.
some different thing, but it's important to know that the reason we use whey is that lactic acid inhibits the bad bacteria and encourages good bacteria to grow.
But whey, you can't really get at the store. Like, you can't really find whey.
Right. I strain it out of yogurt, and this is an excellent. This is one of my like big wow classes, is to show people to use a coffee filter and a mason jar
mm-hmm.
and just use the mason jar lid inside one of those when you're doing jams and jellies, you know, you have the thing to make sure it doesn't spill out the side,
right.
You know, pouring from a bigger container to a smaller container.
You mean the cheesecloth?
The funnel. No,
funnel.
Not cheesecloth.
Okay.
I use coffee filters and a funnel,
okay.
And I just put the little circular part of the mason jar lid inside the funnel that's the right size, and I put a coffee filter in. You know, I hold it in with the lid, and I put the yogurt on top, and what comes through
mm-hmm.
is the whey. The liquid, it takes, you know, a few hours or overnight,
right.
But you usually only need 2 to 4 teaspoons, so it's... Now, it has to be real cultured yogurt, so it has to be one of the ones that has, that when it's in the fridge for a while, the liquid starts separating, that's
mm-hmm.
that is your whey.
That's your whey, yeah.
That does give more success in this kitchen, and I think one of the reasons is that our kitchens are very contaminated with bacteria, kind of from all over the world, and I think because we don't do as much in our kitchen. Like with sourdough, you know, someone who's just starting with sourdough will quite often have it go bad because...
That happened to me.
Yeah,
I tried for a week,
Lorianne.
It took me a week to try to make this bread. It takes 7 days to make sourdough bread. And I did the whole thing. I left the whole starter out. And I was all excited. And every day I was like feeding it and feeding it. And it was just such a process. And then this thing just like flopped when I baked it. And I'm like, oh, my God. It just took me a whole week to make this bread. And it didn't turn out because it was very – it's a lot of work doing sourdough. But I guess, again, you have to change your mindset. It's not a lot of work. We're putting – you know, we're making something that's really healthy for the body.
It
you have to change
you
your mindset.
Once you get it going, it gets easier. Like your kitchen starts to have the right bacteria in it, everything happens faster.
Yeah.
And like with sourdough, that's why, boy, now when you've tried that, you understand why it was so precious.
you know?
Oh my goodness, there's a new lady in town. Let's ask her if she has sourdough starter because it gets happier and happier over time and gets better and better. But the first, doing it from scratch is, it's a week to 10 days, and if you don't use whey, then it's a little more likely to get bad bacteria. We also have the problem, this is another hint for you, this is now, we're deteriorating into coach, but I discovered that you have to be careful what dishwasher detergent you're using, because some of those are antibacterial, and so they will actually harm the correct bacteria. And so we learned that we had to be careful, like, what soaps we use in our kitchen, because anything that's antibacterial can be harming those good fermenting bacteria as well as the others. But, of course, you and I both know that we're not supposed to be using antibacterial anything in our home anymore.
Exactly. I don't have any antibacterial soap at all in the house, but I hear you on that. And I think there, you know, a lot of this is probably a little bit advanced for some of the general listeners, but it's. I hope that it at least is opening up your mind to that there's a lot more to cooking, and there's a lot more to getting nutrients in the body, and that it is. There are things that really, if you really want to be super healthy, that you are going to need to do, and it is going to take time, and you are going to have to spend time in the kitchen. And yes, it can take 7 to 10 days to make bread, you know. And but this is the most healthiest bread. Yeast is not good for the body at all, and we don't even know that. I mean, we are so far off our eating, and all I keep thinking about, Lorianne, is like somebody's going to look back like 500,000 years from now and think, what the heck were those people thinking? Like, did you see what they were eating? They were like going to the store and purchasing things and putting it in microwaves and rushing out here and there. Like, they're just going to look at our life and say, what in the world? And then they had, like, doctors that were, like, giving out prescriptions to any little thing and not even asking what they're eating. Like, we're going to look back in history, and our predecessors, they're going to think we're, like, nuts.
I think so. And other things about our lifestyle as well. Like, you know, I dress very typical, you know, kind of jeans and, you know, and a T-shirt. But every once in a while I think, you know, if our great-grandmothers could see that we had access to any fabric in the world, we had electric sewing machines, we had access to, we could make anything we wanted, and we decided to wear jeans and T-shirts.
You know, that's so true. That's a good
with
point.
All the
I like
work
that.
They did to look beautiful.
You know, my grandmother, let me tell you, my grandmother didn't work and she didn't drive. She was home. And before my grandfather used to come home every day, you know, she used to fix herself up. She would make sure she was wearing something pretty. She would put on her lipstick and put on her little jewels when he walked through the door. I always thought that was, like, so cute. She was, like, fix herself up.
That is so sweet.
I know. It's, like, so cute, isn't it? And then, like, the husband comes home. We're, like, in sweats. Like, what are you doing home? It's like such a different, complete different mindset today. But it's funny because I did get caught up in the whole jean thing. And I love that we're on clothes because I love talking about clothes. But when I was growing up, when I was a kid and a teenager, I was the one that was always in heels and going to school in a dress and a skirt. And I didn't care what people thought. I never was a kid that cared. I was like, I don't care. You don't like it too bad. I'm wearing it. And I would go to school like a little Barbie doll, all dressed up. And I continued that into college. Matter of fact, I remember I had this class, and it was like a big lecture hall. It was like 200 students. And I always loved to sit in the front because I didn't like to be distracted from things. So I remember I would come in with my heels and my jewelry and my big 80s hair and the big high heels, and I'd be walking down the lecture hall to the front row, and the kids would be like whispering. And one time I'm going, and I heard two students talking, and they're looking at me, and I can hear them say as I'm passing by, oh, look what she's wearing today. I would never wear that to school. And I just like said, because I didn't own a pair of jeans until I gave birth, until I was 25. I wouldn't buy them because I thought they were like masculine. They didn't belong on me. I just didn't wear them. So I just always did my own thing. And then I settled into being the mom, and I was wearing the bigger clothes and the jeans. And then, I don't know, just probably around the time I hit 40, I said, you know what, I'm not comfortable in these clothes. Like, they're not me. They never were me. I don't like wearing jeans. I don't like the way I feel in these. I'm going to go, and I'm going to buy some nicer clothes. And I did, and I started. And I now I go out, and I go to the store, and I got my little heels on. And sometimes I wear a dress if I feel like it. Yeah, and then I get looks. I get a lot of looks, but I don't care because they're like, what is she wearing? It doesn't matter how old I am. I still get the looks.
But here's the thing about that is what you do every day is your life. You know, why have it be some distant thing in the future to look beautiful, or why have it be some distant thing or out of reach thing to enjoy making food? You know, people are dressing like slobs and eating microwave and then watching television to entertain themselves. Well, you know, we don't have a television at my house. We cook and we farm and we enjoy each other. You know, we have the companionship of the table every day. And
I love that.
And we do not have, you know, we're not bored enough to want to watch other people live on TV. And I realize that that's very radical. I probably just lost half of it.
I haven't turned on the TV in a year. I don't watch TV either. I can't stand watching television, actually. It's like insulting to me. Or I don't know. It bothers me. So we're in the same.
You know, when I started that journey, you know, 30 years ago, definitely people couldn't even imagine it. And now more and more people say, you know, I'm not ready to give it up, but I see your point.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that we are watching other people, you know, one of the most popular networks is that cooking network, right? You know, is it Better Homes and Gardens or something? Somebody has a food network, right?
Everybody, food network, yeah.
And watching other people make delicious food and eat it.
Right.
Taking
the time to make it yourself. Exactly.
And it's fun, and it's exciting, and it's delicious, and it brings you into other cultures. You know, when we were in Japan and learning to cook, I went to spend time with other women who would teach me to cook their style, and I taught them how to make an apple pie and an American cake, and we had someone in our community that was from India, and she taught me to make authentic curry, and so. I mean, this whole thing was just food itself is just such a bonding thing and such a fun thing and a colorful thing and a variety that, you know, the possibility of going back to a rotation of, you know, beef stew, pasta, chicken nuggets, you know, just horrifies me. It horrifies me what that would be like, how we would lose so much of the variety and the flavor of life if we did that.
Right, right. And people just don't realize that. They think they're eating healthy, and they just don't realize how denatured and how stripped of nutrients our food is. And, you know, just eating that white rice and chicken from factory farms and not having a salad, or, you know, it's just not, you're not getting what you need. And it's just we're ordering out all the time, and you just don't know where the food came from. And taking the time to make really good food for your family is so very important, especially to children. And I'm sure you'd see a big improvement in test scores as the children get more nutrients into their body. But you certainly have inspired me today to take out my miso. I have miso in the fridge.
One great thing about miso is it doesn't go bad.
No, it doesn't. I'm not a huge fan, though, I have to say, because I'm not like not a big fish person, and it just has that taste to me. But and in the past, I just would heat up some water and put in a little bit and just drink it by the mug. Is that how do you do your miso?
Well, there are different flavors of miso. You can get barley miso or, you know, wheat miso or, you know, basic soy miso. So it's worth experimenting a little bit. There's red miso, white miso. I quite often add it at the end of a really good soup preparation. One of the things I've just added in is a crock pot. I had done crock pots, you know, when I was on the SAD diet, you know, I had a rotation of chicken and beef in the crock pot. And I hadn't implemented that, but now I'm trying to do more of the stock. You may know about the GAPS diet. Well, the foundation of that is doing more stocks that's supposed to be very healing to the gut. And I'm actually still in this journey for, especially my husband. My husband, we've had a lot of work to do with him on his digestive health. And so I'm actually, like, putting stock in a crock pot and letting it stew for a couple of days and then serving it out. And that's a great way to use miso, is to just to stir a little bit of that. Then in whatever else I'm making, that adds sort of the salt flavor.
Mm-hmm. And that would be like a chicken stock, or is that a vegetable stock that you make?
Well, I'm doing more with meat stocks now, chicken, and it is still the chicken and beef rotation, but I let it cook longer and, you know, kind of remove the vegetables because the meat stocks made with bones are supposed to be very strengthening. My husband is one of the early adopters of the SAD diet. His parents started, you know, buying TV dinners before most people had. They were early adopters.
We should talk about chicken broth, because I was just talking to somebody today, and he's like, I'm all congested. And I'm like, go get some broth, you know. and so many people just say, like, they'll go to, like, CVS to get, like, Sudafed and Actifed, and that's how they think they're going to be better. But really the body's craving the minerals from the chicken broth.
Yes, these old remedies really do work. And it's sad that people just don't even know the list. I'm on several health-oriented, you know, Facebook groups and email loops, and we just have to keep saying the same things over and over again. Every time somebody new joins the loop, we're talking about, you know, chicken stock and detox baths and, you know, mints and herbal teas for these basic things that, you know, our parents and grandparents never dreamed of running to the doctor or taking a drug for a sniffly nose. And that's part of the slowing down thing, too, is it's okay to be sick. It's actually okay to be sick and go to bed and stay there and just pamper yourself and nourish yourself and not drug yourself and keep up with the race. You know, your body's message here is, I need a break. And to slow down and say, you know, during a woman's monthly cycle, why shouldn't she take a couple of days downtime? You know, if you have the flu, don't race back to work. Take the time to really be sure that you're well. Don't just drug yourself and then go infect everyone else in the school and workplace. I think that we're in this terrible, vicious circle.
When you have, like, the flu or something like that, you do need to slow down and get rest. And we still have that mindset that we have to eat three meals. And really the body doesn't want to eat. You know, the body wants to concentrate on getting itself better. The body can't be digesting food and healing at the same time. So we just tend to just always want to eat. So when you have something like the flu, it's best to just fast, you know, go on fluids and broths and fast, and let the body kind of heal itself, and you'll get better so much quicker. And but we don't tend to listen to any of our own signals, and when our body is sick, it is telling us to slow down and take a slower pace in life, and we need that, and we can't stop because we can't take time off of work, and we got to go with the kids, you know, got to be on the field, and just this constant cycle of just doing way, way too much. And I think we are so overcommitted in for some reason, and we see everybody else doing it, and this is what we, society dictates what's the norm, but this isn't really the norm. I mean, the norm would be having a family share together in making a nutritious meal, and getting being healthy is a lot, will go a lot more further than having your kid on five teams and on all these sports, and so you're never home to do anything because you've got to be on the field with your child. It's probably better to be in the kitchen with your child, teaching them skills that they'll have for life. And so
yes.
it's savoring
these experiences. We are so hurried and harried that we're never satisfied, I think, because, you know, if you're like on the soccer team and in the band and on the cheer squad and you do those three things in a row, you've never savored any of those experiences. And that is a huge part of my health breakdown, was that I had just been trying to do everything all the time. And when you think of how we rush with, you know, FedEx and faster cars, and everything's just rush, and I think I wasn't enjoying a single thing that I was doing.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to look forward to it. I was dreading everything because, you know, everything was coming at me so fast. I was dreading things that I should have been looking forward to. And then, like, quick, you know, forget about that. We got to go on to the next thing. And I've been trying to be much more conscientious with my children. You know, we do one activity at a time. We do it as a family. Everybody participates to whatever degree they're interested, and we kind of do total immersion in whatever it is we're doing, whether it's having a family band or being at play. We just all pause and take time and savor the experience, and it's made our lives just a much nicer pace, but it also makes us enjoy those things that we do so much more, that we, you know, can be talking about it. Every night at dinner, we're all talking about dance class or whatever it is that we're currently involved in, instead of everybody's brains being full of, you know, the scattered things that everybody's doing differently.
Right. And I think that's like a very good starting point for people in just changing their lifestyle. It's just having everybody sit together at night for dinner. Like, have your meals together and really encourage participation and encourage speaking. And there's so many people that I know that have their televisions on when they eat. You know, my best friend and her family, they watch television. That's what they don't eat together. They just take their plates in front of the TV and they watch TV together and they eat. And you know, that's, we've really gotten so far away from just basic, I don't even know if it's skilled or traditions, just basic culture and the importance of it, of just being together and sharing with your day and over a nice meal. So even if we can at least get people to start doing that, is a huge step in the right direction.
I agree. Creating a space, especially for people to have time to think and to share, because things that are on your mind, you're not going to just blurt them out because your mom sits you down and says, okay, you know, anything on your mind, you know, tell me what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And people watch TV because it can seem a little dull, you know, to be doing nothing but talking. But the disconnect with, you know, parent and child is very damaging, because a child can't jump in there during the commercials to say, by the way, you know, one of the children is beating me up at the bus stop, or
right.
or my body's maturing and I don't, you know, and I don't know what these things mean, or or even just to have some silence in their day, you know, is so important. No time to think is, becomes more and more evident on a public scene, right? People don't have time
exactly.
to think.
Exactly, because the kids are so attached to their cell phones today. It just, they beep all day. You know,
yes.
Constant messaging all back and forth, and there is no time to think today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and even with that, it's like you get the message so fast. It's like it doesn't matter where you are. It's like, boop, there you are. You know, I mean,
and it
we
makes
grew
everything
up,
urgent.
Yeah,
everything has to be responded to right now.
Yeah, I mean, just think, we grew up, there were no cell phones. It was, you know, landlines with a cord. You came home from school, maybe you talked to your friend for a few hours on the phone, but it wasn't in your pocket where your friends are messaging you all day. I couldn't imagine being in high school today. I would never get any work done. My phone would be like, beep, 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 beep. I'd be like my kids, like, all day long, my thumbs answering all these. Oh, my God. It's just a hairy, just the busyness of all that in and of itself, you know, it's insane.
Yes.
But
I recently saw, you know, that somebody has issued a challenge for everybody to stack their cell phones when they go out to dinner together, and whoever has to grab their cell phone first has to pay the tab, because, you know, it is so easy for my whole family to be sitting in a circle, you know, all on the phone, you know, all
mm-hmm.
keeping an eye on Facebook. When we're out and about, if we don't, you know, make that intentional, you know, step that, you know, the people who are here in the room with me are the most important people, you know. So if other people have urgent messages, they're just going to have to wait. I mean, we can't always do that. Sometimes we are expecting phone calls about medical crises or deliveries that are coming. But it is just so easy to let the tyranny of the text take over your life, and so little of what is in text is actually significant, you know,
mm-hmm.
10 minutes from now, never mind 10 years from now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's definitely a lot has to be changed with the mindset. And I hope that today people walk away thinking a little bit more about family time and about increasing nutrients and looking into Sally Fallon. Sally Fallon runs the Weston Price Foundation, and Weston Price was a dentist who went and studied he studied cultures that were still very traditional in the early, I think it was 1930s, and he looked to see why they got no cavities, because their teeth were like perfect and they didn't need braces. And he said, well, what are these people doing that they have these perfect smiles and these perfect teeth? And he studied the cultures, and he saw what they were doing and what they were eating, and what came out of it was an enormous increase in nutrients than what we're currently getting. Cod liver oil, if I remember correctly. I remember something, high vitamin butter oil, which has a lot of nutrients in it. And he also was very big on fermented foods. And Sally Fallon studied Weston Price's book and made up a foundation after him. I believe it's a nonprofit foundation, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of articles on the website talking about this particular, and I hate to say it's not really a diet, it's more like a lifestyle.
It's especially adding in nutrient-dense traditional foods, you know, recipes for doing that she has created, that starts with, you know, shred the cabbage. It's kind of nutritional cooking for dummies, and well worth owning and learning to do, and fun. You know, she has recipes in there for ginger ale. Well, ginger ale used to be a fermented vegetable. Beet kvass is kind of the alcoholic drink of Russia. And
forgot about beet kvass.
It's kind of chemistry in the kitchen, and there are a lot of things to learn there, but also, you know, fresh ways of preparing foods that we eat every day. You know, when I get, you know, fresh asparagus in, using her recipes, they are very reliable and mm-hmm. quite often give a very different flavor from what I grew up doing, which was basically steaming things and putting butter and salt on them.
Right. Exactly.
But
exactly. Go ahead. I was going to say, I have to wrap up, Lori, and we're almost just about out of time, but I really enjoyed this. That was really awesome, and I hope you'll come back again and speak on a different topic, but this is definitely very interesting, and you've totally got my interest back into Western Price, because I was for a while doing the Sally Fallon thing, the nourishing tradition. I was fermenting. I was doing all this stuff. And then I just, you know, you get into phases and then I let it go. But I can certainly see how incorporating in that you do need this. And especially now because it's the winter and we're not getting the fresh vegetables that are fresh out of the ground. We're getting, you know, supermarket produce flown from California that's been sitting around, and we don't even know how much nutrients is in that. So it really is important to spend the time to do maybe a little bit of extra to get in those extra nutrients. If you just let us know, let the listeners know where they can find you if they have any questions.
Well, to find my health coaching site, I have a redirect. It's the Wise Women Wonderground. That's wise, like as in wise traditions, wise women, plural, Wonderground, WONDERGROUND.com. That's my health coaching website.
Okay, great. Well, I thank you so very much for being my guest today and sharing with your experiences. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for letting me tell my story and share with people. And you are doing a great work here. Thank you so much for letting me participate.
Thank you so much. Okay, Christine Siegel back here. That was very interesting. I really enjoyed speaking with Lori Ann. That's Lori Ann Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L. What an experience going from trying everything that was suggested out by our government and by our press over the years, low-fat, no-fat, you know, try this, try that. And then she went to Japan and really saw the culture over there and how they were eating and changed her life around. And here she was again thinking she was doing the right thing. She was eating healthy and she couldn't figure out, the doctors couldn't figure out what it is. And it figures that she'd be told that, oh, take this antidepressant like you're making it up. And I'm sure there's so many of you listening, including myself, that have had a similar experience where you're having symptoms and you just, and the doctor just completely is not asking the right questions, is not on the mark at all, not asking what you're eating, not asking anything about your stress level, your lifestyle, and just says, oh, here you go, you're just depressed, and hands you this script for some type of antidepressant medication, when in fact that has nothing to do with anything, and you're depressed because, or if you are depressed or you're sad, it's because you just, you know, something's wrong and you're not getting answers. And it you just kind of, you go to them for answers and you're not getting it. So you really have to be your own advocate and take your health into your own hands. And I would strongly recommend looking into Weston Price Foundation. That's W-E-S-T-O-N Price, P-R-I-C-E Foundation.com, where there are some answers in fermenting foods, chicken broth, which is very high in minerals. When you boil the bones, you get the minerals from the animal that go into the broth, which is very nourishing to the digestive system. I mean, even if you're a raw foodist, I know I brought raw foodists on here. I've heard of raw foodists having chicken broth just to get the nutrients, not eating the meat, but just the broth to calm the digestive area down. So it is very nourishing to do that. There's so many things that you can do, and it's just amazing. And it's just really finding the time. And like Lori Ann suggested, maybe turning off that television set and not watching other people cook, but going out and getting yourself a cookbook, the Nourishing Tradition book by Sally Fallon or some other book with some recipes that are very, you know, nutrient dense, that will definitely help you to heal your issues. About to wrap up here today. I thank you so much for joining me this Friday afternoon. I hope that you will follow me again next week. And like I said in the beginning, I invite you to write your intentions down for the week and see miraculously as you start to cross them out, because you are accomplishing them. It's amazing what will come to you when you put it out there. Again, I had a lot of success this week, and I tried to be as specific as I could, and I was very, very happy with the results that I got. So I do recommend to you that you at least try to, you know, write those intentions down and come back next week and share with me how you did. I really like to hear your experiences. Maybe one of those intentions you can write down is to maybe look into fermented foods, increasing your nutrients, and try it. You know, you just, it really, I make this dilly carrots. It really doesn't take that long to put it in a jar. And it does sit out for a week, but you are eating, when you do opening it up, you get like a fizz when you pop open the jar, and you can just see like it bubbling, and you know that it's fermented and it's got good bacteria, and it just enhances your gut health. And when your gut is healthy, you are healthy, because your gut is very, very important to your health. They say it's the second brain, so something you really want to make sure that is kept very, very healthy. So increasing nutrient levels, especially during the winter, is a great thing to do, to look into. So I will be back next week. This is Christine Siegel, Wake Up and Live. Thank you so much for joining me today.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archives MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure is not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
Radio listeners, you all know that the reason for global cooling is global warming. Well, we here at Lake Havasu Snow Removal want to remind everyone that we can plow your driveway or street 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We are available in the Lake Havasu, Phoenix, and soon-to-be Tucson areas in the cold Arizona desert. So, if your driveway is backed up in the middle of April or in the frozen tundra season of August, please call 855-NO-AZ-SNOW today. Time of day, any time of night, Lake Havasu Snow Removal will clear your driveway in freezing cold tundra of Arizona. Thank you.
Howdy, folks. Buford T. Slaughter with the Slaughter School of Military Science. We are now enrolling for fall semester for 8 through 11-year-old children, boys and girls. Folks, we have a war against terrorism going on in this country. We have a war against illegal aliens. We have a war against drugs. We have a war against high cholesterol, just to name a few. Uncle Sam needs your kids to continue this war. Send them to the Slaughter School of Military Science, and in 9 months you will have the most efficient killing machine this country has ever produced. I'm not going to lie to you. There will be pain. There will be suffering. But if your children are properly trained, they will come home alive. Give us a call at 1-800-U-KILL. 1-800-U-KILL. The Slaughter School of Military Science.
Aloha, y'all. Hi,
Colleen.
Hello. Shane, hold your tongue for just 1 second so I can
will.
Tell people who they're listening
that.
To.
I'm sorry.
This is Ikai Colleen, Eco-Minded Warrior here, and I guess we're just going to get rolling. My first guest today is Shane Stewart with a lot of background noise. Are you in a wind tunnel?
Yes, I am. Let me get out of one. I am outside.
Better.
Hey, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
I'll maybe inside in a second. Well, thank you for having me on your show, and it's completely appropriate since you're a part of this project that we are doing together, along with Stacy. Is she on the phone?
Stacy, there.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Hi, pretty lady.
Hi, how are you?
I am awesome. So,
she's over there getting ready for an event. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, not okay. No, it's quiet. It's just, I think Stacy had a little bit of background noise as well, but it sounds like we're getting all quiet and good over here.
I have background noise. I'm going to have it now. Is it okay?
Sounds good now. So,
okay.
For our listeners who don't know about Shane or you or what you're doing out at the ranch and what you're doing in the community and Las Vegas Wellness Institute, I think it'd be easiest if we just broke it down. So, Shane, if you want to go first and just give us a little history on who you are and what your inspiration is for what your involvement is now.
Yeah. My name is Shane Stewart, and I have been labeled the rock food mixologist by my partner, Stacy, which I've come to claim all over the Internet. And I've been a rep for Vitamix and going around and doing health food conventions, cancer conventions, and educational seminars on eating whole foods and why blending your food can be appropriate, and talk about all the speak about all the nutrients of the seeds, and then I went through school and got a degree in nutrition. And as soon as I got that degree, it was in December, I left Vitamix and joined up with Stacy, who has been a longtime partner of mine with Oh Baby I Like It Raw, which is a raw food pop-up restaurant, and we do catering events like we're doing tonight for the Zappos team downtown. And we decided to put together something unique that this town has been in dire need for some time, and that was a wellness center. And upon doing so, people within the health industry have come out of the woodworks to be a part of our new institute. And it's just been a completely amazing experience. And I also want to include you, Eichelin. You are also a part of our of what we have come to put together. And that's basically it. We had our first retreat last weekend, and it was amazing. We had a lot of people showing up, some of them sick, some of them wanting to lose weight, some of them just wanting to get further education on how to be healthier. And along with many guest speakers on essential oils and colonics and intestinal healing yoga. And it was far exceeded my expectations of what I thought this thing would be from the very beginning. And it's the first time I think I stated to the group after our first retreat, I said, this is the first time I ever felt that I'm doing something that's bigger than myself. And it is the most rewarding thing by far that I've ever done.
Am I outing you by saying I saw the tears in your eyes?
Yeah, you just did, but that's all right.
Stacy, you're up, Mama. Tell us how you got involved. Give us a little history and.
Are you there? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Shane, thank you. Shane and I have actually been partners, like you said, for quite a while. And Shane actually, I met him through a company called Greens and Proteins, and he did all of the drinks and all the smoothies and drinks and soups there. And then I actually did the raw food menu there. And so we just decided to partner up, and it's been a beautiful friendship and a beautiful business relationship partnership ever since. And we complement each other really well. And so we formed a company, of course, called Baby I Like It Raw, which is what he told you about, and then the Las Vegas Integrative Wellness Institute. And just a little bit about, so that's our background. But a little bit about me. I've been I'm a vegan, and I've been a raw food and vegan chef for about 11 years now. And I used to own my own raw food restaurant in Atlanta. It was called Everlasting Life Natural Food Market and Raw Food Cafe. And that's how I got started into the raw food industry. Ironically enough, prior to me opening that restaurant, I had no idea what raw food was, and you would never know it now, but like, I didn't know what a raw pie was, raw lasagna, raw pizza. I thought it was really strange food, but I'm a businesswoman as well, and I thought that it was also something that was unique, and it was a niche market, and at that time, no one else in Atlanta had a raw food restaurant, so it was successful, and then I ended up moving away and moving to Ghana, West Africa, and the rest is history, and now I'm here in Vegas, but the journey has just been amazing. Pardon?
I said, I'm so happy you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy I am. And I would have never met you. So it's been an amazing journey, and now we're here in Las Vegas, and my parents actually live here also. And so we're just really working to make the market in Las Vegas more aware. Las Vegas is known as a meat and potatoes town, you know, not really known more for the fine dining cuisine, not really known as much for healthy cuisine, especially when you know, most people think about Las Vegas, they think about the Strip, but there's a whole other culture that and a movement that's happening in Las Vegas that I'm really excited about and that we're all a part of. And it also includes, of course, Zappos, which Shane, I think, mentioned that we're doing a catering job for them tonight. And just this whole movement of people, just a healthy, more conscious effort in Las Vegas that I'm just really excited about and excited to be a part of, because it reminds me actually of when I was in Atlanta and the beginning of that whole movement. So, Eichelene, we just want to thank you for everything that you've done for us. We actually have an amazing team right now. I wish you all could see, like, at our facilities, we have an amazing group of people right now that are helping us to share all the food. We have a nice little team. Shane is on his way over here, and we're going to rock it out like we've been doing, just making incredible food for people, but making it so that it's sustainable, it's eco-friendly, and it's organic, and making sure that we heal people as well as feeding them delicious food. So there we go.
So I don't know if you know anything about my show, but I will listen to you just like a listener, but I get that things stick in my mind. So I'm in 3 did while you were talking. So I'm just going to go down the list. One is you mentioned your parents, and what they did on Saturday was absolutely amazing. Walking through how to communicate and how to not have toxic relationships in your life, how to listen, how to speak. And it was unbelievable. And I know we joked that they must have been looking in my kitchen window that morning. It was so right on time. But the principles and the practices that we all participated in with the, you know, the, them giving an example of how to communicate and how not to communicate, has Rob and I have applied that to our communication skills. And I mean, and him and I get along really well. but that morning it was rough waters, and neither one of us knew why. And it was just like so ironic that what was under his, the burr under his saddle was me not putting my dishes in the dishwasher, and I didn't know what it was, and he wasn't expressing it. And then I said to him, I'm like, that morning, I said, we are not communicating effectively, so let's just take a breath and get to the ranch and you know, become part of the event, and we'll figure out what this is later. And little unbeknownst to us, we would partner up in this experience with your parents, where we talked about the first example they gave about putting your dishes in the dishwasher. We looked at each other like, no way. And we both on the second experience that they took us through, we both had tears in our eyes. It was exactly what we needed to hear. And it is, we have kept not just that experience, but the lessons we learned from it, and we keep applying them to how we communicate. So it was very powerful, and I love your parents.
Well, thank you. I have to relay that message to them, definitely. I know that they, and they, my mom told me, she's like, yeah, there was a couple there, and they were just crying. That was probably, I was able to have that on you guys, and that it was able to help you, more importantly.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And her parents were an amazing addition to what we were doing at our wellness center. And I know a lot of people some people that were kind of new to the experience of what we were doing over there were kind of sidetracked on dealing with relationships and communication and tying that in with wellness. But just like you, you know, wellness applies in, you know, all kinds of different areas. And you, Eileen, are very on point with how you eat and how you take care of yourself, but you needed a little healing in another aspect of your life. And that is one of the things we offer at the Institute, is we don't just focus on what you put in your mouth. We also focus on what you put in your heart and what you put in your mind, which is what we call over there primary nutrition. And Stacy thought in the beginning that they may not fit, but you were absolutely correct. People had an amazing experience, especially my mom too, who was also at the event, took that with her with my dad and applied that information, what she learned that day, that evening, and she wanted me to tell Stacy's parents personally how grateful she was that she got to learn from them.
Your mom, can I just hug her forever?
Yeah, she would like that.
But Holly, that's funny, because that's the kind of household that I grew up in. You know, it was very, I've like never seen my parents fight before. Never, not once. I've never seen them argue or anything. It's a little surreal. But that's how I grew up. So that what they did that night or that day was completely, it was just a great representation of how they are, really how they are. And then my parents are, they've been married for 42 years, I think, 41, 42 years. And so they've been together a long time. I'm sure they've had their arguments, but, you know, I never saw it, so
that's
interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think it just contributes to the health and, you know, the health of the children. A little bit, I like to say I'm mentally stable sometimes, you know, but thank God for my parents, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you brought up, you know, sustainability, and one of the speakers at our last event, I can only imagine that she's going to be a part of everything at the Institute, is Roz. And her story, she said one thing, like of all 3 days, there was one sentence that stood out for me. And it's a song I haven't listened to because I know I'll have an emotional breakdown. But the line in the song that she quoted was, "I will serve you while I wait." And that has resonated with me so deeply. And I think about how we all met, how everything has come together, and you know, nothing has happened overnight, but amazing, beautiful things are happening now, and they're gaining momentum, and it's just incredible. And I love what Roz is doing, and I think, Shane, did you say that they're going to do the raised gardens?
That we are?
Yeah.
No, Roslyn. Roslyn says they just root community garden.
I'm sorry, I was asking
if Roslyn said that she was going to do the raised garden. Roslyn from the Vegas Roots Community Garden, and she's going to do the raised garden.
I don't know.
Stacy?
I'm not sure, but we can certainly ask her. As a matter of fact, she and I are having lunch next week to go over some things, so. Yeah, that's one of the things that we're with. Roslyn and I have been, I met her, I mean, and like you said, Eileen, I have to just ditto what you said, because I think that everybody has come together to form just an incredible team of people. And Roslyn and I met because she came to my cooking classes or something. But she was just this really interesting lady that she owned a, first of all, and I don't even know if you all know, but Roslyn's like almost, she's like in her late 40s. She looks amazing.
She looks fantastic.
She does. I think she's approaching 50. And she has two daughters in college. And you would never know because she looks like she's just out of college herself. But she was just this really interesting woman who would come to my classes. And then she would come and she rode a motorcycle at the time. And I don't know too many women, let alone African-American women, that ride motorcycles. So I thought that was really cool. In addition to that, she had her own mobile oil change company. Sorry, that's my dog in the background. Hi, Isis. I'm in the backyard. I'm thinking to be quiet, but it's not because she's out here. So anyway, sorry about that. But Roslyn just, she has her own mobile, like I said, oil change company, and I knew her before she started the garden. So a lot of the stories that she told when she was talking about the garden were most all of them were true. Some of them I didn't know, but a lot of them I did know because I remember the days when she was crying about the garden and how, you know, it was just really difficult for her. And it was just, but to see where she was when she first got the land and to see where the garden is now, and like I said, TV, actually, she just threw Kat. You know, I don't know if you all know who Kat is, but Kat is just a fantastic, she's helped Shane and I out a lot, but she's a developer here in Las Vegas, and
let's all three say thank you, Kat Wilniak.
Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Kat Wilniak. I know she's, like, awesome. But she hooked it up so that DirecTV, every year, they take a non-for-profit, and they sponsor the not-for-profit and give the not-for-profit like $30,000 to $40,000, and they just build out like whatever they need, and so they chose the garden this time. And so in April, 350 of the DirecTV employees are going to go to the garden, and they're going to completely build out whatever, like her wish list. It's kind of like an extreme makeover, but it's going to be for the garden instead of for a house. And it's going to be just fantastic. And the thing, the reason why I love like what we do together is that once Roslyn actually got that, she got that contract where she found out DirecTV was doing that for her, then what she did was she immediately called me and asked me if I would cater. She would call me and ask me if Shane and I would cater lunch for the DirecTV people when they come to do the build out. So it all comes together full circle, you know. Now in April, Shane and I have the opportunity to do a catering job for lunch for 350 DirecTV employees at the garden. And so it just always works out, you know, and I love that. And we just have just such a, like I said, just an incredible team of people that just circle that we all just work together to make things happen and to do great things for the community. So,
and you know, Trish and Ed's is hooking up the organics too. I mean, just their generosity and support for our efforts is amazing.
Yes, absolutely. I just have to say, I haven't had the honor of meeting them yet, and I cannot wait to meet them because what they, if you and Trish and Ed were able to donate to us, like as far as the food was concerned, was just, I mean, unbelievable. We had so many different varieties of foods to choose from. And that wasabi, oh, my gosh. Nobody ever had wasabi except, you know, the green kind that has all the dye and stuff that we eat at a Japanese restaurant. But who knew that wasabi would taste like that? And it's actually like a plant, and it's just, it's phenomenal. And so all of that, I mean, I'm just really excited about meeting them. I think that I'm going to take a trip there next week just so, you know, we can go and check it out and say hi and thank you. You know, thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, Trish is amazing, and she's in full support of everything we do. And not only that, you know, we go there every Thursday to get our produce, and she always makes it like ridiculous so that because she knows that we're gonna keep what we need for the week and then put the rest of the produce in the hands of people who are using it for those who can't afford it or who are using it to for events to help other people understand how to eat healthy. It's just this beautiful circle of community and wellness. And we just went there yesterday, girl. I sent Shane, did you see that picture?
No.
I sent you a picture. I took a picture of what we got yesterday and I sent it to you. It's off the chain. We're meeting with Melissa Blinn from Create a Change Now tomorrow.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll bring you some more goodies.
Awesome. And then in exchange for that, I have your crate. Like, so if you have your crate, we'll give you your crate back.
Right? Because we're having to walk in there all embarrassed with a red bucket.
Yeah, you don't want to embarrass. You don't have to be embarrassed anymore. I have your crate there all ready to go. So that's funny.
Yeah, I have to say her produce made the best green smoothies on the planet. I know.
Oh,
I mean, that's what we used every single morning before we started our class. We called it the lawnmower bag, but it tasted like anything but because of the quality of the kale and the collard greens and everything that we put in there. Just it was one of the best green smoothies I've ever had, and I've been making them for about 10 years for doing them professionally for Vitamix and for myself, and they've never come out so good. Go ahead.
Here's a testimonial. Dr. Lodi from An Oasis of Healing did an impromptu, you know, he was just going to come out and check it out, and you made him a green drink. Now, think about this. This is a man who has two wellness centers, one in Thailand and one in Mesa, Arizona, where the first, all of the protocol, but the first thing they do is get you on green juices. And I talked to him 2 days ago, and he said, I need to know what Shane put in that drink he made for me.
And I couldn't even begin to tell him, but it was just the best greens I've ever had my hands on. That's for sure.
And that's what it is. I mean, the quick story of how we even got connected with Trish and Ed, we were at a farmer's market, and I'm from Hawaii where I feel energy from food. And I moved here 7-8 years ago, and I'm just like, all the food here is dead, even the produce, like even you know, stuff that was supposed to be organic, like I wasn't picking up a vibration from it. And Rob and I were at a farmer's market, and the booth next to us had this produce, like I was getting energized. It was like I was doing wheatgrass shots one after the other just by standing next to this food. And I said, we have to find out who this comes from. And Rob went over and met Tim, which is Trish's boyfriend. Ed is her business partner. It's confusing. But Tim said, you have to meet Trish. And when I met Trish, I just wanted her to be on the radio program, and it was like the program had just started. It was like my third show, and I was still raving about their produce. And finally she called me back, and she's like, well, what's the impetus for the show? And when I told her I'd been diagnosed with lupus, she goes, you're getting your butt down here and getting a crate of produce on me. And that's how the relationship started. And what they do is just it's absolutely incredible. They drive to California 6 hours in, load up with everything that's fresh and ripe, and turn around and drive right back. And it makes all the difference in the world. And I love that they love what we're doing, because it means we get to introduce more people to amazing produce. And I'm so bad. Rob gives me hand signals. I've got a commercial in 2 minutes. I think we can talk for 2 minutes. You guys want to take a minute apiece, or somebody want to say something?
I really want to get the message out there to all the listeners that because we're here first and foremost plugging this new wellness center that we've all developed together, and we have an open house coming up next Thursday from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and we're gonna have live music and good food and good drinks, and we're gonna be making green smoothies and showing people the establishment and the grounds that this institution's on is a 30-acre horse ranch with rolling hills and trees all over the place, and you couldn't find a more tranquil, beautiful place to have a wellness center, especially in Las Vegas. I think we found the diamond in the rough. But I invite everyone to come on out and see what we're doing out there. And I think you'll be very pleased, and it'll be rewarding to anyone who participates.
Absolutely. No coincidence. Our last guest on this show is Roland from Healing Waters. It's so beautiful how the community is coming together, and all of the I don't want to say services. What's the word? We're going to have these one day like open houses where we all come together and share ideas and co-create, and then 3-day retreats. And there's so much. Like, if I'm a listener and I want to understand more about, because I could sit here with a list of all the things that went on in the last 3 days. But if somebody wants to go see what happened on the last 3-day event, and then stay in touch and stay in contact and stay in the loop to see what we're going to do for the next 3-day, I know there's a Facebook page, so I'm going to let you go for there.
Go for it, Steve.
I'm sorry. I was in the middle of chopping onions.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The last thing you said.
Listen, both of you, right now, quit clipping your toenails on my show.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. The only reason why I have to jump, but in Eicheline, in our defense, the only reason why I have to multitask is because we have the catering job for Zappos tonight.
I know.
So
congratulations, you guys.
I'm so sorry. Thank you. So what is it? What was the question? I'm sorry.
Just right before we go to commercial, and we'll be back, so don't drop off the line. we're gonna give this information out again when we wrap up. But for right now, before we go to commercial, how do people stay in the loop of what's going on at Las Vegas Wellness Institute?
Okay. Great question. So the first thing that they can do is definitely tune into your radio show, because I think that what you're doing is awesome, and you are definitely, you've been not only a great friend, but just a great advocate for what it is that we're doing. And so I would tell them, first of all, to plug into you. So whatever information that you have, I know you've created some Facebook pages and just some incredible social media. And so after I finish with our social media, then I would love for you to just plug in all the social media that you have also, because I think that more than anything, you've just been fantastic in getting the word out. And we really appreciate that. But in addition to that, we have a fan page. We have a Old Baby I Like It Raw book, Baby I Like It Raw Facebook fan page. So we always post things on there. And then the Las Vegas Wellness Institute is also on Facebook, so you can look us up on there also. And then Shane and I have our own Facebook pages. But I think that's the best way, just to not bombard people with all, like, the Facebook stuff. And then we also have an email list. So if anybody wants to contact Eicheline and leave their email, that's fine. We can also add you to our email list. We have quite an extensive list of over 2,000 people that we blast out to when we have our meetings and when we have all of the things that we're doing around the city. So I think that those are, you know, quite honestly, those are the best ways to find out information about what it is that we're doing. So, Eicheline, you can take it from there with all the stuff that you have.
You know I'm going to. All right, we're going to commercial break. I'll talk to you two in a second.
Okay, thanks.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Hi, this is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Gets and Rising on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join host Libby Gadsden and me every Monday through Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk with cutting-edge guests about the truth of a variety of topics. We are 100% free speech. Gets and Rising on Freedomizer Radio, because you can handle the truth.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Oh, yeah, baby. Time it is. It's time to get your freak on with your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Mondays at 7 Central.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Okay, so without fail, technical difficulties every week. I dropped myself from the line. Are you guys still there?
Yes, we are. I am.
maybe you should take over the show.
I'm here.
So, the next next Thursday is an invitation for people to come out and get an idea of what they will experience on the next 3-day retreat. Is there a date and for the next retreat?
Yes. The date for the next retreat is February 8th, 9th, and 10th.
And that's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's correct. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
And we'll are there hours?
Yes, the hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's all day, and you'll be fed. I mean, we give you enough food to last a lifetime. Honestly, you know, it's like you get your green smoothie in the morning to get you going. You make your own breakfast, you make your own lunch, and it's just a lot of food. And we just had like this past one that we did, the past our first wellness weekend. It was just so incredible, and like I said, we had so many different guest speakers. Of course, Dr. Lodi came. Thanks to you, Eicheline, and blessed us and really just made everything very special. But we're gonna include a couple of different speakers or additional speakers, I should say, and then we're going to keep some of the ones that came last time. Like parents will be guest speakers again. I told them that they made the cut. You know, not everybody made the cut. they made the cut. And then we had another guy who did intestinal healing. His name was from the Don Hodge Yoga Center, and he was just, oh my gosh, amazing. And everybody loved him. He's going to come back. And we had Jen. Jen was the one that introduced me to you, huh?
I know how long. It only took us a year to figure that out.
I know. I did. I was like, oh, that's the same Jen. I just figured out of the chat again.
I want to say that we haven't brought him up, but it would be appropriate considering he's on after us. But Roland was also spoke at our event, and he was absolutely incredible. I mean, I never thought – Roland, that's with the hydrotherapy, spoke at
these.
And I've never thought, you know, anybody could make the subject of cleaning your colon be so entertaining as I did. I mean, he was absolutely the best. I mean, and he for sure made the cut. Like, I would love to have him back anytime. But, yeah, he's with Healing Waters, and we also are talking about possibly – bringing some of his equipment over to the ranch and possibly doing the hydrotherapy over there as well. And slowly but surely, we're going to turn this place into a full functioning wellness center with infrared saunas. And like I said, we're doing the colonoscopy and the detox and everything and anything else that we don't know about that somebody would think that our center would benefit our center. Another thing I've heard about that a lady introduced me to was floating yoga, which it's something I've never been familiar with. But people are just coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, I do this and I do that and I can contribute this. And it really has turned into a beast. That is a beautiful thing that we're all trying to wrap our brains around ourselves.
Floating yoga. That's
floating yoga, yeah. You take Epsom salt, a ton of it, and enough to where when you get in the water, you don't sink and you're floating on top of the water and you go through different yoga poses.
Oh, you know what? That's really interesting because that's kind of like how the Dead Sea is in Israel. That it has so much, the Dead Sea has so much salt, so many minerals that it's impossible to sink. You just float in that water.
Yeah, the Great Salt Lake. Yeah.
And you know,
the Great Salt Lake.
That water that they use in the Dead Sea is actually a healing. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. Of course, you know that. And so, but what it does is it's it actually goes and it heals the body. So people go there who have like all kinds of skin cancers or just like all kinds of ailments and diseases, and they just go and they go and float in that water for hours on end, and they're healed a lot of times. Like, I know that I had a really bad case of eczema. When I went there, it healed my eczema. It cleared up tremendously. So I can understand why that yoga would work. That makes complete and total sense.
Well, being from Hawaii, like if there was ever anything wrong with you, you just went and floated in the ocean for a while. For that reason, it's completely healing. And now, instead of putting plexiglass over the pool, why don't we just fill it with salt and we can have group floating yoga?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Shane, I know you're shaking your head.
What? I'm shaking my head?
Why do we want to go, Shane? I see you shaking your head.
I need to apologize a little bit for my lack of energy. I myself need a wellness center today because I'm feeling under the weather. And my green smoothie did not do the job, but I'm trying to keep up as much as possible. I just texted Stacey and I said, thank you so much for picking up the slack. You're carrying this thing, baby. That's why we're partnering up.
Oh, no problem. In all honesty, I sent Shane a text message and told him that he needs to be resting. We need him for tonight too.
So here's how to get him feeling better for tonight. Herbal Answers Aloe Force It's Herbal Answers Aloe Force, and I know, but I don't know what part of town you're in. But I know that they have it at Whole Foods. So if you're anywhere near a Whole Foods, it's the green label. It's amazing.
Okay.
And what's cool about this radio show is that I don't have to worry about making claims. Testimonials. I mean, there's certain things I can't say, but I have seen this stuff do. Amazing things. Just guzzle it. Just absolutely guzzle it. It's 32 ounces. I would do four ounces.
Let me share something with you. I have it right here. I didn't even know I had it, but it's in my fridge.
Hey, sip away.
it's almost gone, but I didn't hear what you were saying before. But, yeah, it's in the green bottle, the herbal aloe force that you gave me a while back ago.
And you know what's so funny? We were in Herbally Grounded and had the biofeedback out, and a girl looked over, and I could just feel her energy was, like, really, really low. And I said, do you want to get scanned? And so we scanned her, and we got her the proper herb. And this is, like, a week or two ago. And she called me today on my cell phone and said, hi, I don't know if you remember me. And I remember everything about her. And she's sick, too. And so JC over at Rainbow's End is taking care of her. She's on her way there now to go get it. And the people who, because whatever this thing is that's out there, the people who are getting it are staying sick and feeling really cruddy for weeks at a time. And the ones who get on the Herbal Answers Aloe Force are calling me and going, really? I feel this much better this quickly? It's amazing
stuff.
Do you know what I think did it? Is I haven't eaten meat in a very long time. But last night I went over to my buddy's house and his girlfriend cooks for everybody. And, of course, she has turkey and lettuce cups. And so I was like, well... As soon as I walked in, she was so excited because I came in later after everyone else, and she had the plate all made up. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to eat this thing. I'm not going to be rude. And I think that's what probably set me over, because other than that, I was feeling fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, that would be it. So you didn't tell me that.
I
ate bread yesterday and woke up this morning and had an allergy attack. I don't have allergies anymore.
Is this what we get for being healthy? As soon as we get off track, we're doomed.
That's what it is. That's how you know the ones you're not.
Instant karma is going to get you.
Yeah, exactly. So, no wonder you're feeling like that. And I'm. But hey,
you're
so going
to kick his butt.
You need to do a colon. You need a colon cleanse.
Hey,
and you know what? Stacy and I are on the same page, Shane, so you're just don't even try to fight it. You're going to go see Roland, get some hydrotherapy, and actually, if you have enough of that aloe, they add probiotics to the hydrotherapy.
Yeah.
But you just have them add the aloe to that process, and then have them do the hydrotherapy and then throw you in the hyperbaric chamber.
Well, do you know what's good is I think Stacy works in hydrotherapy. I'm just going to come to come over to your house right now, Stacy.
No problem.
You can do it for me.
I got you covered. I just picked up I have like a
bring your elbow.
I have an extension cord and I have
a garden hose.
I have a garden hose. Yeah, that's all we need. And I have some wheatgrass over here, so just hook it up.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Funny.
Have either one of you done the hyperbaric chamber?
I'm sorry?
No.
Oh, dude. Go to Healing Waters, Dr. Roland. Get in the I call it the bubble. But it's like I've had three sessions, and you both know me long enough to know how much I've suffered with my ears and my sinuses.
Mm-hmm.
My very first session, I was in there for an hour, and I'm just like, please don't unzip me. Every time I do it, I want to stay in there longer. Like I want to be like Michael Jackson and sleep in there overnight.
Oh, here's the Jackson on the phone. I'm telling you.
Don't turn the lights on. Don't unzip my bag. It is amazing. Here's a funny story. So I'm like, and it's so comforting. It's like a deprivation chamber, except for I don't like that phrase because it seems like you're being deprived of something when you're actually being infused with something beautiful, which is oxygen going into every cell in your body. But it's a really comfortable environment. It's like almost like being in the womb. And so my third session, I'm like, BS if I'm going to show up in jeans and high heels and you know, pop off my heels and crawl in this thing. I showed up my third session in my pajamas. I had an eye mask. I had some fuzzy socks. And I was going out. And I got in there and it blew up. And I had to fold up like origami. Here's my advice to all listeners who do hyperbaric chambers is put the fuzzy socks on first unless you're extremely flexible because I must have looked like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon trying to get those socks on inside that bubble. But then I woke up in the fetal position. And I'm like, if I was in the fetal position when I woke up, how easy is that to put your socks on? it's just funny.
Well, I'm going to have to go buy some fuzzy socks because I don't have any. one thing that I did want to say to anyone that is still like wondering, you know, is do I need to go to a wellness center? Is that everybody that I told you that was there that first time that we had it, you know, some were sick, some were well, some were there for different reasons. But when Stacy and I go and teach a class at Whole Foods, we do that every second Tuesday of the month, the Whole Foods at Las Vegas Boulevard. And we'll teach a cooking class and we'll give them all the information and they'll have the ingredients. But when we walk away, they're kind of still left in the dark on how to do it because you can't really learn by just sitting and watching someone go through the process. And so the way that we develop these classes is people are getting in and they're reaching their hand into the vegetables and they're making their own smoothies and they're making their own raw food dishes. And we have been receiving emails back and they're like, oh, I can't believe I made that mock chicken that we learned how to make at the center and it turned out absolutely amazing. Or Shane, is it okay if I put aloe in my smoothies? And I was like, yeah. And they go, okay, besides that, my smoothies are coming out incredible. My Vitamix has never gotten so much use since the time that I had it. But it really allows people to get off on their own, and with all the information that we give them in those 3 days, they're able to make good decisions on how to make better changes in their life and the steps to go about it, because we had everybody from colonics to essential oils for your skin, which was with Jen Ryan. She was absolutely incredible, and with yoga, and it opened up people's eyes to a world that I don't think they, most people are not exposed to, especially if you're not in the health industry. And that is really, I think, what is so amazing, the first and foremost about our retreat is where it's like kicking the baby birds out of the nest, and they're able to go and do it on their own. And I hope that, I think we need to offer something for your listeners sometime, or maybe we could do it this Thursday, some kind of deal where they can come, because I know we're charging $20 at the door on this event for Thursday, and $10 for guests, but maybe for your listeners, we can give them a secret code or something to say, and they can come in for half off for $10 for everybody.
Oh my God!
What do you think about
that? Can we make the secret code? I love you.
Yes, as long as, and I'm going to make sure I answer the door every time.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's it. So anyone who comes out to the door, say, whoever is listening, say, I love you, and you will get in half off. And we're going to have incredible food with Chef Stacy and drinks and flavored waters. And I think we're going to have a percussionist and drummer that's going to be there, either that or an acoustic guitar player. And you guys will first and foremost get to see what we're about, hear us speak about what we're doing, and there's going to be vendors there too, right, that you're setting up, Eileen?
Yes, absolutely. And biofeedback and
yeah.
organic handcrafted soaps and just amazing raw vegan proteins and aloe. So it's just going to be can I say awesome one more time?
You can. Yes, you can. It's your show. You can say whatever you want.
I love you guys. I love you too.
All right. Half off, half off. Good job.
I got my discount.
That's right.
So you guys are just before Rob gives me the hand signal, and I mean to go to commercial, not the one he gives me when I leave my dishes out. So you're doing a catering event for the Zappos team tonight?
We are.
You want to talk about
it? We are. We're doing it. Absolutely. You want to talk about it now or want to go to commercial?
I know.
Tell them what you're making.
Yeah.
I will. Actually, I have a whole team of people. I want to give a shout out to Derek and Courtney, and Stefan had to leave, but they have been they're just an incredible crew of people. Stefan and Courtney, first of all, are chefs themselves, and we could not do it without them. And Derek is just our all-around guy. Like, seriously, I call him for everything. I'm like, Derek, can you do this? Derek, can you do that? And he just does everything for us. And I just I have to just say thank you to them, because, honestly, we could not do this without them. And the thing I love about them is that, you know how you have some people that say, oh, I want to help, and actually they end up hindering you more than they help you because they just aren't competent. We have an extremely, like, intelligent and just incredible group of people that work with us, and we call on them a lot, and they know how we operate. They know how Shane and I function, so it just makes our job so incredibly easier. So I wanted to just say thank you to them before I go on with the actual one, talk about the menu. So thank you, guys.
That's
welcome.
and just so you know, there's an email, like, group conversation going on with us and Dr. Lodi, and everyone included in that is going to get a link to today's show so that you can share it in whatever way you want to. So I just think it would be really cool if the people that you just mentioned got to share the link.
Oh, okay, absolutely. So, yeah, and so what we're doing, we actually, it's incredible, there's a girl named Nicole who came to the Wellness Detox Weekend this past weekend. She works for Zappos, and she attended all 3 days. And so as a result of her coming to the three-day weekend, she actually recommended us for referred us for a catering job for Zappos tonight. And it's for 50 people, and they wanted something kind of light, and so we came up with an incredible menu, and we're doing Asian fusion foods. So we're making, let me go and get the menu, and I can tell you exactly what it is that we're making. We're making a vegan Thai chicken curry with fresh cilantro, Thai basil, and lime. We're doing a coconut jasmine rice. We're doing a grilled ginger sesame chicken. We're doing an Asian garden stir fry. We're doing a butter lettuce and mixed field green salad with an orange miso dressing. And then, Jane, of course, we always have to break out the Vitamix, so we're going to do a fresh vegan coconut ice cream made to order. And they were so excited about the menu. I mean, when I sent it over to them, they were like, oh, my gosh, we cannot wait. So we've done a catering job for Zappos before, so they're kind of familiar with us. And it's good. So we're just here prepping right now, and then we're going to head on over there and wow everybody with the food and just have fun while we do it and give everybody, like I said, for us, it's more important that the food is sustainable, it's organic, it's fresh more so than anything, mm-hmm. and that's what people are getting when they come to Shane and I for a catering job. I'm not going to toot our own horn, but we're very good at what we do. You know, we've been doing it, and I can say that only because we've been doing that for a long time. We've only been at it for a couple of years, and maybe not so much. But Shane, of course, has his background in the Vitamix, working for Vitamix, and of course, creating all those recipes for greens and proteins. And he's very modest because Shane didn't even tell you that he was the number one salesperson for Vitamix in the entire North America last year. Like, that's huge. He was the number one salesman. I mean, and that was just based on the fact that he was making his own recipes and coming up with all these crazy concoctions, mixing vegetables and fruits and making stuff taste incredible. And he was able to do that. And so Vitamix was kind of pissed when he left. But, you know, hey, he had to do what he had to do. And then I was working at
the Wynn. I love you.
And I was working at the Wynn. I was there for 2 years and just working there. It was a great experience for me because I already knew how to cook, but I didn't know how to cater very well. Like, it was, you know, so I worked in catering and banquets, and I positioned myself perfectly so that I just extracted all the information that I could from the Wynn. I learned how to prepare food for not only for 5 people, up to 6,000 people. I can put it together. And so it's been incredible. So now when we come up with these catering jobs, like with the background that Shane and I both have in food and culinary, and just making things taste and look good, we're able to just come together and make it happen and create a wow experience. Like, that's the thing. We just want to create a wow experience for all of our customers. And so, we're excited.
You see, okay, so not only did you make me drool with your Asian fusion recipes, I want the listeners to know that they can go online and download your recipe books, which are there's like 14 or more, and each one is a different type of ethnic raw vegan cooking. Am I getting that right?
You're absolutely right. So my website is chefstacydugan.com. It's pretty simple. Stacy is S-T-A-C-E-Y, Dugan is D-O-U-G-A-N.com. And, of course, you Google me, I come up, just type in Chef Stacy Dugan, or type in Stacy Dugan Las Vegas, and I'll come up as well. And, pardon? Hello? Oh, I thought I heard something in the background. So,
you heard Roland.
Oh, that was Roland. Hey, Roland.
That's me heavy breathing over here.
Did you hear the menu also, or you're just finished, you know, working out?
Nope, I heard the menu. I can't wait to have some.
Oh, you heard the menu. Awesome. Yeah, so if you go online to the website, then you can download the cook booklet. Their cook booklet. I'm in the process of me putting together this long-anticipated book that I've been working on for years. But there, I've come up with different cuisines. So people generally cook when they want to prepare food. They prepare with different ethnicities. So, for example, if you're having lasagna, you're not going to have, like, a taco with your lasagna. You're going to keep it Italian. You're going to have lasagna. You're going to have garlic bread. You're going to have a Caesar salad. So I have prepared all the recipes according to ethnicity. So I have, like, you know, Asian cuisine, and I have Mexican cuisine. I have Italian cuisine. And they're raw booklets, and there's also vegan raw, and then there's also just vegan cooked. Well, so you can go on. There's a variety of booklets to choose from, and all of them have about 12 to 15 recipes in them. And that's basically the book, but the book will be coming out pretty soon. Shane's been actually my coach for my book because I've just been procrastinating on that, and he's been moving forward with his, so he keeps me moving forward with mine as well. But Shane, yeah, definitely, Shane, talk about your book as well, because I'm actually more excited about Shane's book than I am about my book, which is crazy.
You're so sweet. I love you.
I am.
You could go to I have a website,
hydroveggie.com. Stacey just got half off, by the way.
I know, she's incredible. She's got in free for the rest of her life. That's how incredible she is.
Before, we have to take a commercial break. And then when we come back, everybody stay on the line as long as you can, because I love y'all.
Okay.
I ain't trying to get nothing half off. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, this is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Getz and Rising on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join host Libby Getz and me every Monday through Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk with cutting-edge guests about the truth of a variety of topics. We are 100% free speech. Getz and Rising on Freedomizer Radio, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, all you lads and lassies out there, come listen to The Sandbox every Sunday night at 9 to 10 p.m.
No,
Eastern Standard.
9 to 10:30 p.m.
Oh. Every Sunday night at 9:30.
No, at 9 to 10:30 p.m.
At 9 o'clock to 10:30 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard Time.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
Hey, guys, we're back. Roland, I do have a question. Do you hear all the wonderful feedback about your participation in the last 3-day retreat?
Nobody tells me nothing. I just stay at home and wonder why nobody likes me.
Well, eat a can of worms.
No, actually, I haven't had a chance, you know, to really get anybody's response, but I hope it was enjoyable.
It was. We actually. Oh, excuse me. It sounded like a machine gun going on. We just said on the show, I think before you got on, how awesome you were and how we would hope to have you back as many times as you would want to come back, because you really, everyone took so much away. And I told Aikaline that I've never seen someone bring so much entertainment to getting their colon cleansed as you brought to your speech. You had people laughing, and it was so informative, and it was something that I've never really thought about doing myself, but after listening to you speak, it's for sure something that everybody has to do, and I was completely sold on it after you left.
Awesome, Shannon. I'm really glad to hear that. I enjoyed it, and just always count me in. If you need somebody to discuss this, always I will be there, okay? I'm your right-hand man there.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so Roland, I like to outchain. Yeah. He's sick, so he would hydrotherapy and or hyperbaric help him?
I'm sorry, what kind of sickness is he dealing with?
I don't know. Well, mentally, he's really off, but I think he's having he's got some physical issues at the moment.
Yeah, I woke up just under the weather. I don't know what I got.
Well, here's what you want to remember, is that all bad bacteria have to live in an anaerobic environment for them to grow. So whenever you're starting to feel a little bit on the sick side, that means your immune system is a little suppressed, and probably your body fluids have become acidic and your oxygen levels have dropped, and that's why they're now starting to grow and make you feel ill. So whenever you start to feel that kind of flu or cold or, you know, any type of irregular sick feeling, the first thing you want to do is get all that bad bacteria out of you. That will naturally raise the oxygen levels of the body, and it'll build the immune system so that it can do its job.
That sounds like a lot of work. I'm just kidding.
It's only a little tube up your butt. All you need to worry about.
I saw that. That's not that much work.
No, it's not.
Yeah, what I think it really was I put meat back in my body last night, and I hadn't eaten it in a very long time, and I think that's the only thing I did to myself that was different, but or maybe I got.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Shane, are you going to go see Roland at Healing Waters?
I'm driving there right now. I didn't even. I'm all ready to go. I didn't even put my pants on. I'm ready to go.
You don't need them.
And Shane, unfortunately, we're booked solid till 7 tonight.
So oh, now you, we'll now you tell me. I really do want to come by though and check it out, because Aikaline just speaks the world of your place. And I've even met with somebody yesterday that said you're one of the few places in town that actually does the hydrotherapy correct. What was her name? Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor. What was her name?
Kathy Humani.
Yeah, I don't know if you know are familiar with her, but
I say Kathy Humani, but it's supposed to be with like an accent on the I, right? Humani?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But you know, I will tell you this, that we probably have one of the most passionate groups of women that handle this, and you see their care, you see their love and wanting to share their education. And I mean, the equipment is the best you can get, and it's the most comfortable and the most thorough. but it really is the hands-on of the girls and them trying to figure out what it is that's throwing your body out of balance and giving you information that you can use to get yourself better. And that's why we have such a great reputation.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you can have the best equipment in the world, but if you don't have a group of people there who make you feel comfortable, help give you understanding, give you an education, and make it an enjoyable experience. I mean, not everybody wants to laugh through a colonic, but there's a level of sensitivity for everyone, you know, and it's everyone who is at Healing Waters has just this energy about them that puts you at peace and lets you relax and takes any anxiety away if it's your first time. And I've never experienced anything like it. And when, you know, 15 years on Oahu, I had every kind of colonic you can imagine and a bunch of other alternative therapies. And I was hopeful in my heart, but I've never experienced walking into a place where, like, I was so at peace in my heart before. I mean, you guys could have done anything to me. You could have told me to stick my left toe up my right nostril, and I'd be like, okay, and I'll feel better. And everyone there is so dedicated to health and wellness and making it an experience that doesn't include a bunch of anxiety. And it's not just about information. It's about the energy of the person who is, you know, assisting you in whatever experience you're having there.
Roland, If I remember right, we did put you into a hyperbaric chamber and take you 15,000 feet below sea level, and you did seem to enjoy the heck out of that.
Oh, okay, so what you don't know is the third time I brought an eye mask and fuzzy socks, and Clayton zipped me up, and he's like, you're really okay with this? I'm like, leave me here as long as you want. I think I was in there for like an hour and a half, and I woke up in the fetal position. How do you get in the fetal position in that tube? It's so funny how that works. It was beautiful. When I first got in, I went in with my eye mask and my socks, and I'm just like, how am I going to get my socks on in here? And I finally managed to do it, and, I know it would behoove me to put my socks on first the next time.
Absolutely.
Clayton's like knocking on the little clear patch, and he's like, are you okay in here? And I'm just like, don't unzip me. Leave me in here forever. And the healing from that first experience was like, to me, it's nothing short of miraculous. I know it's science, but to have the pressure released in my sinuses, in my ears. Like because you assisted me in my first visit, and you told me, you know, okay, your ears are going to pop, and I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, my ears have been a journey for anybody who knows me, and I no longer have pain in my ears, and the tinnitus is gone.
Absolutely. You know, and just like you were talking earlier about the vibration of food and the energy at our place, Eileen, you know, that's really what life is all about, is to stay in a good energy environment, because that's what our bodies just thrive on. And that is what has been so lacking in our food, is that, you know, live foods have a vibration that fall right in sync with our bodies. And so when they get that, everything works more, a lot, you know, more efficiently, and in harmony. And it's the same with the energy at Healing Waters, that when people come there, they feel an energy. They feel that they're in a healing environment where only their health is of the utmost importance at that particular moment. And it's that energy that we are really, you know, well known for, because from the time somebody calls, they're going to know that we took time, that we educated them, that we gave them all the information that they're going to need to make an intelligent decision whether or not they even want to come to our place, or if cleansing is something that their body needs at that particular time. And that's what is so beautiful about this organization that's being put together here in Las Vegas. You know, when you really understand, you know, what happens, how the body holds in so much poison that's being, you know, just bombarded on us from our food, from our stress, from our water, from not sleeping right, from alcohol or drugs or pharmaceuticals, whatever. And you understand that we have, you know, we've partnered up with, you know, Herbally Grounded, so that we're being able to deal with different herbs to deal with the deficiency that might be in somebody's body. And we have a place like Legends Ranch and Las Vegas Health Institute that are about educating people. You know, one of the things that we talked about when I did have my little talk over there was, you know, what Thomas Edison said, that the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, the diet, and the cause and prevention of disease. And, you know, I really believe that America has really been humbled. It's really been changed over the last 5 years of what we've gone through. And that change is now in the air. And if we don't start actually building our bodies as opposed to wrecking them, that's where our optimism comes in. That's where our strength comes in. That's where our health comes in. And then we can go out and help other people. And so I really believe that this union that is happening with this great group of people and educators is just so exciting and so timely. And I really believe that it's the future of where America is going.
Amen to that. That was beautifully put.
You know, and so that's what's exciting, and that's why, you know, even having this opportunity to share about Healing Waters and Herbally Grounded and Legends Ranch and, you know, Shane and Stacy and you and Rob, it's just like, wow, we're pioneers in a world that's just now beginning. It's just now people are enlightened to the point that, wow, it doesn't make sense to take medications. And, you know, herbs were the medicine since time began. And everybody knows that our food is our medicine. And so how exciting it's going to be in the future to see not only, you know, elderly people or older people, but how they take that and start affecting their children. Because I definitely believe that ADD and ADHD and all of depression and all of these things that we're seeing our poor kids go through is all directly related to what's going down their throat.
Yes. And this is going to be a really anonymous testimonial, but I happen to be related to a young man who was actually two, now that I think about it, that were diagnosed with ADHD. And just by changing their diet, one went from being, like, they wouldn't even let him in a classroom. And he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's absolutely brilliant and loving and funny. But he was just frustrated. And I looked at his diet and I'm like, okay, well, this explains a lot. And the second child was completely, he had anger management issues. They were going to hold him back in school. He had been suspended 3 times, and this, we're talking by second grade. And I taught him, again, a brilliant child with a loving heart, and I made food science for him. And he got in the kitchen and he started blending and he started juicing, and he had, you know, this crew that he hung around with. And I thought, well, you know, one or two things is going to happen. He's either going to move away from this group of kids, or we're going to bring them in. And the latter happened, which makes me just like, I think about it every day. So all these young boys who are out, hooligans, you know, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff, would show up every morning at my house before school, and I would make sure that they had their homework in order. We would eat breakfast. They would come over after school. We would do the homework. It just, in a matter of a year, the lives of seven young boys who had pretty much been written off completely changed. And it had some to do with love and attention, but primarily you can't give enough love and attention to a poor diet and expect a different result.
Absolutely. And Eileen, that's exactly what this is. So when you really understand this really terrible epidemic of bullying that's going on, and you understand that symptoms of too much sugar, not enough water, too much fruit juice, processed foods, no exercise, that the symptoms, you know, are depression, irrational behavior, chronic hostility, irritability. So you put that into a young developing body, and they wake up and they have sugar frosted flakes for breakfast, or, you know, just something with lots of sugar and syrup. And their bodies are so anxious that when they get to school, they've got to vent this out. And so, and it's the same with all of these incredible shootings that we're starting to see. When you've been in such a stressed out environment, and we all know that stress is the number one killer in America, all it takes is one more little thing, and it just takes them over the top, and they explode and they do stupid things. And that, so what we're seeing is really systematic of our diets, our stress. You know, how many times can you keep getting beat up before you finally let go? And that's why it has to start with getting our bodies back into balance, and which calms you down, which makes you so much more loving and more, you know, considerate of other people. And like I say, I just really believe that these are all just symptoms of too much sugar, too much caffeine, and food that just does nothing but hurt the body.
You know me, I couldn't agree with you more. I haven't agreed with you more since the day we met because I don't know how to.
Yeah. So, again, but this is the kind of stuff that we really now get to publish and study and get out there.
He's playing the national anthem.
You know, one of the things that I've, from my experience in going around and teaching nutrition, was that the children are a lot more receptive to eating better than their parents are, because, you know, as you become an adult, you get really stuck in your old ways, and most people don't really want to change unless the doctor says, hey, you know what, you better change something or else you're not going to be around for too much longer. And then they want to start doing more investigating on what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat. But kids, from the very beginning, if you tell them that a tomato is good for you, they're going to go, well, I don't want to eat a tomato. But if you can get creative, which is what, you know, I did with my recipes, is putting tomatoes in ice cream or slipping them into a smoothie, they love the idea of eating healthy. And still, and one of my demonstrations, or all my demonstrations, when there's kids and adults are walking in, they're like, what's in this ice cream? What's going on here? They're like, oh my gosh, there's an avocado in there. There's spinach in there. He put carrots in there. And they're so enthusiastic about eating the foods that their parents don't make them eat at home. And they really are my main focus in what I do, because they're what's going to change everything. for us, and they are
absolutely.
Yeah.
Dane, absolutely, man. That is magical, and they just feel better, act better, and they just know it's good for them. If we can just make it so that it's tasty, that's the key to the whole problem.
That's right.
Hey, Roland, do you know the secret code to get half off at the door for Thursday?
I really do not know that.
Shane, you want to tell him?
I love you, Roland. Roland.
Yes.
I love you.
Thank you, man. I love you too, man.
That's a secret code.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. What are you gonna? That's the secret code for half off at the door on Thursday for our. I don't know if you got the invite yet, but you will. But Thursday night we have music, raw food. It's kind of like we did with the open house, except we're bringing in entertainment and make it a more of a festive event than just having an open house.
Excellent. Yeah, I just gave a little talk at Herbally Grounded last night, and I told about 25, 30 people all about your place, and they are all excited to come by and check it out. So I think it'll be really exciting. And now one of them has a health television show, and she's very interested about doing a story on the whole concept. So it could be very exciting.
Thank you so much.
It's already so exciting. I love you, Roland.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure. We all got to stick together if we're going to make it work.
Yeah, I totally agree.
This is so beautiful. We've got 2 minutes. So Roland, I think Stacy's not muted. Who's at the Ozzy concert right now?
Oh, that's myself. I'm sorry. I'm actually trying to get some medication to get myself through tonight. So I'm at CVS when I know I should be eating a raw aloe plant. I'm going to subject myself to Sudafed.
Well, we are going to try to somehow get a time machine and go back. And I love your honesty. And I'm sorry you ate meat. And I'm sorry I ate bread. And we both feel like crap today, and we'll feel better tomorrow.
Yes, 60, I hope so.
60 seconds left. I do want to let our listeners know that Watchers Prophecy Network is up next, and I want to thank Shane Stewart, the raw mixologist, Roland and Colleen from Healing Waters, Chef Stacy. What do you say about Chef Stacy? She's amazing, and I look forward to us all exploring this incredible adventure.
Thank you for having me,
Colleen. I want to thank you also for the opportunity to be on your radio show.
Yes, thank you, Ike. You are everything you said about us. You are that times 10. We love you to death.
I'm not good at math, so I love you too.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Okay. All right. Bye, Roland. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, guys.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin.